Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, July 21st, 2012. This is episode 893. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and use the promo code TECHGUY. Well, a good day to you. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk about computers. No, you know, it's not going to be too long from now where I don't even say the word computer, is it? I mean, we're really heading in that direction. Yeah, well, anything with a chip in it. Yeah, that's a computer. But also tablets, cell phones, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO. That's my number, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., we got a call from Cairo last week. That was pretty darn cool. So if you're outside the U.S., you can call. Still, it costs you nothing. If you use the Skype or one of them voice-over internet thingamajigs and call, Skype at least, Skype out, which allows you to call regular phone numbers, won't charge you any credits if you call a toll-free number in the U.S. And this is a toll-free number, 888-827-5536. That's the phone number if you want to give me a ring. Or if you want to get in our chat room, I'm laughing at the chat room right now. Apparently, all that jazz, the phrase all that jazz, the full phrase is I'm going to rouge my knees, roll down my stockings, and all that jazz. I didn't know. My knees are not rouged, although I am wearing shorts. It's a hot day today. Chat room is available through our website. This is, I think, I say this every week. You're going to be amazed when it actually happens. I'm pretty sure we have one more bug to squish in the new website. So I believe this is the last week of the old Tech Guy Lab site. And when you see it, you'll see why we are killing it. It's a vintage design, 1996 vintage design, but it's at techguylabs.com. The new site will also be there, techguylabs.com. And, hey, it's functional. There's a link there to the chat room. We'd love to see you in there. There's a link there to every show we've ever done, all 800 and, could that be possible, 93? Wow. 893 shows. There's also audio from those shows. We make audio and video available on our podcast site, twit.tv. Everything you need, 8888-ASK-LEO and techguylabs.com. Those are the things you need to remember. The rest of it, just, you know, sit back, relax, and let the knowledge wash over you. Just let it wash over you. And you're right, Toilet Bug in the chat room, not his real name, says and points out, and it's absolutely true, it is all free. Nothing is, I charge for nothing. Nothing. How am I doing? How do we do this? Well, we have some great sponsors, and that's how. Everything is free, including the podcasts, including all the show notes. It's all there for you. Don't, never fear. TechGuyLabs.com. It's actually something I think that's kind of holding back internet television a little bit. That's what I do during the week is internet, I don't know what you call it. That's part of the problem. We don't really have a good name for it. Internet television, IPTV. But that doesn't tell anybody anything, does it? The idea is I have essentially a television studio here in Northern California where we do about 30 programs a week. But we don't put them on television. We don't put them on a cable or satellite. We put them on the internet where anybody could watch. In fact, I was watching on my big screen TV. It works great on the big screen TV. You can watch live, and then we make on-demand versions available for download of all of our stuff, audio and video. And all of that's free, thanks to our great sponsors. I like the idea of ad-supported media. I'm kind of tied into that. Well, what a big week this was. I have a couple of things I want to talk about. One is I got this Nexus 7 tablet. And this is the Google tablet they announced at Google I.O. And they're finally shipped out. I got mine on Monday. Been playing with it all week. Can't put it down. And it's exciting. I'll tell you why it's exciting. Because Apple has dominated this space with the iPad for 3 years now. And finally, there is something that can compete, I think, very credibly with the iPad. And here's the best part for us. It's $200. So if you've been waiting, if you've been saying, oh, I'd love to get the kids a tablet, or I'd like to have a tablet for when I travel, I want a reader, I would like to be able to watch movies, I'd like to be able to play games. I've been playing chess like crazy on this thing, and it's perfect size. It's 7 inches, a little smaller, so you know, but you could fit it in the back pocket of some, or your jeans. I wouldn't do that in case you sit on it. But, you know, it's easy to carry, much easier than the iPad, it's a little smaller. Very affordable. And because Android, it's based on the Android operating system, because Android's been around for so long, it's now very mature, very snappy, very fast, but there's a very fast processor in this thing. A Tegra 3 quad core, what I think it's 1.2 gigahertz, four processor. I mean, this is a little bitty thing with more power than the desktop computers we were using until just a year or two ago. And that's why I said at the very beginning, I don't know how long we're going to talk about computers, because, you know, the truth is, the desktop computer is kind of a dinosaur, and these new portable devices, this is where it's happening. This is where it's very exciting. I'm really thrilled to see this amazing evolution. So I'll talk a little bit about the Nexus 7. You want my thumbnail review? Absolutely get it. It is a very credible competitor to the iPad. Absolutely. The one thing it lacks, and the iPad really does have an advantage, Apple has an advantage here, is the very high resolution display of the iPad. 3, the new one. But I have to say, this is so close. It's almost what they call Retina. In fact, I would, you know, it is Retina, really. But the display's a little better on the iPad. But still, this is an amazing device. Really incredible. So we'll talk about that. If you want my thumbnail, review, buy it. If you're in the market for a tablet, certainly look at it. Unless you already, you know, have a lot of Apple apps or something like that. My second topic today is Yahoo. Wow. So I grew up, as many of us did, Yahoo was the internet for us in the early days of the internet. Jerry Yang and David Filo, the Stanford grad students who created the very first index of internet web pages. It first lived on a Stanford server because they were doing it at Stanford. I remember very well the server was Akabono, that was a famous sumo wrestler, .stanford.edu, and it was an amazing thing. They renamed it to Yahoo, got the domain yahoo.com. It's a retronym, Yahoo is. Retronym means you backwards, you make it an acronym in after the fact. So they had the name Yahoo, and they said, well, what could this stand for? You could tell it's a retronym when you hear what they decided. Yet another hierarchically officious oracle. That's a retronym. That's called stretching the words to make them fit the letters. But it was for a while the way to find stuff on the internet. Then the internet got so big, the World Wide Web got so big that you couldn't, because it was humans. It was like a library catalog. It was humans making a catalog. The internet got so big, Yahoo couldn't do it anymore. And that's when Alta Vista and other search engines and eventually Google took over. But Yahoo became a portal. Remember My Yahoo? Wasn't that great? That was your first page on the internet. And then they started acquiring things. They had Flickr, still do, which is a great photo sharing site. They've kind of neglected these things, though, that they bought, and that's sad. They bought Delicious, neglected it. That was a great bookmarking site. The founders, Stuart Butterfield and Katarina Fake of Flickr, moved on. They got fed up, and they said, this is it. This is not a good company. Joshua Schachter, who wrote Delicious, moved on. Then they eventually sold Delicious. They couldn't seem to make the transition. They became a content company for a while. They were run by a guy named Terry Semel, a Hollywood guy, who said, no, content is king. And that strategy didn't work. Then they brought in Carol Bartz, the former CEO of Autodesk, famed for her foul mouth, but not much else. She couldn't turn it around. Then they brought in Jerry himself. Jerry Yang said, I'm coming back. No, that didn't work. Part of this is that they have a very contentious board, and they have a... They have a member of the board, a guy named Dan Loeb, who is an activist shareholder. who was very unhappy with the Yahoo stock, which tanked and tanked and tanked. I'll continue the saga of Yahoo because it has a happy ending, I think, when we return. Leo Laporte, the E-Tech guy. I'm going to rouge my knees and roll down my stockings and all that jazz. It's summertime, and if you run a small business, you know summer can be...
I guess I'll continue this story later.
You've got to juggle vacation schedules.
Yes, the Wikipedia list of Yahoo...
So who's going to be there to make sure you...
Properties is kind of amazing.
Well, Carbonite, of course. Carbonite. With Carbonite, your computer files will be backed up automatically, continuously, all year long. You can focus on growing your business while Carbonite backs up your computer files. Plus, with Carbonite, you and your staff can access their backed up files on a smartphone.
It's a really interesting saga,
I think. Carbonite app. So, don't let a computer disaster slow down your business this summer. For your home office, or your small
business,
Tim
Morse.
You need a better backup plan. You need the backup plan.
I left out a CEO.
Carbonite.
So Terry Semel left in 2007. Jerry Yang took over in 2008. Carol Bartz in 2009. Tim Morse, interim for 2011. Scott Thompson in 2012. Ross Levinson, interim CEO in 2012. Marissa Meyer. That is in 1 year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 CEOs.
What are the two most important things in business? Time and money. And that's why your small business shouldn't settle for anything less than the Epson Workforce.
Incredibly mismanaged.
That's what we use here at the beautiful studios, the Workforce Pro. It's the world's fastest two-sided inkjet printer.
Interesting story. Hello, everybody. Was I ever with AOL? You mean, did I ever use it as a customer? Oh, yeah. I had an AOL account for a long time. Initially, because it was, you know, it was kind of a... I had Genie, CompuServe, AOL, all of those. And then I grew to hate it, but I kept an account just so I could help people with it, and I finally gave up.
Speaking of color laser printers, not only is the ink better, but the speed...
Update your ICE info on your phone. That's a good idea. I like that. What is this?
So check it out. The Epson...
Here are your buy this, but BT this cards. I don't even know what this is.
Use the promo code LEO10.
BT this.
Epson, built to perform.
What does that mean? Carry this card on you always. Take any type of photo with this card in the picture. Email it to Beertainment. Okay. That's a little bit of a stretch. Beertainment. PayPal's now demanding two-part identification. Wow. Yeah, two-factor authentication on PayPal for a long time. I did. If you want to find out my work history, I have it all posted on my Google profile, twit.tv/Leo. What's this? A new credit card? Well. Hello. Mine expire. So this is a fun time to be in Petaluma, and you guys, after the show, I invite you to the Rivertown... Why did they send me a card that's exactly the same as the old one? Huh. Maybe they thought I lost the old one. To the Rivertown Festival. Which is... Did you know about this? It's really cool. It's kind of a steampunk festival. We have a little kind of... I say it's an island. Lisa says it's not. It's a peninsula. But anyway, there's this little area where the old warehouses were, because this was a big, you know, river town was a big, barges would come up from the city all the time, eggs and lumber and stuff was shipped down. And so all the warehouses were on the waterfront, but they've taken over that island, and it's just kind of a retro festival. They do $5 weddings, and it's really fun. It's the most fun festival now we do. We do a lot of festivals here. But it's a lot of Burning Man types are there, so there's a lot of strange constructions. I'll show you the picture I took. There was a replica of the Titanic going down the river this morning. No, just today, once a year. Now's the time.
Yo-yos, that's the way you do it.
You came on a good day. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. That's how it is for the tech guy. No, it's not. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo.
We have a couple of visitors from L.A., Craig and Carolyn visiting, and I was just showing them a picture. This is a big day in our little town here of Petaluma. It's the Rivertown Festival. This is a Rivertown, and one of the parts of the festival that's fun is the Strange Boats Parade of strange boats that go down the river. And I was just showing them a picture I took this morning as I'm walking down of a scale model of the Titanic. I think it's a Titanic. Four stacks. And it's yellow. I think that's the Titanic. Anyway, sailing down the river. But it's a scale model, but it was about 7 feet long. I mean, it was pretty big. It was fun to see it. And it had smoke coming out of the stacks. And it had a little... It may sink at the end. I don't know. They'll have to get a little, you know, 8-foot iceberg out there, and maybe they can recreate the 100th anniversary of the Titanic this year. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. I got started on the saga of Yahoo. I should have realized it's going to take about an hour to tell you this story. It's crazy. It's just crazy, the story of Yahoo. I'll go briefly. There is a great Wikipedia page, Yahoo-owned sites and services, that just goes on and on and on. Ad Interacts, Fire Eagle, Flickr, Foxytunes, Upcoming, Wretch, Rivals, Yahoo Advertising, Yahoo Answers, Yahoo Avatars, Autos, Axis, Bookmarks, Yahoo Developer Network, Directory, Finance. Yahoo Finance is good to use it still. Yahoo Games, Yahoo Green, Yahoo Groups, Yahoo Kids. Remember Yahooligans? That was great. A great search engine just for kids, so it had no bad stuff on it. Yahoo Kolprol, which is apparently an Indonesian social network. Yahoo Local. Yahoo Mail, which is still, I think, bigger than Google Mail. It's pretty big. Yahoo Maps. Yahoo Meme. Yahoo Messenger. Mobile. Movies. Music. OMG, which I didn't know about until recently, which is Yahoo's gossip magazine site. One of the most visited sites on the internet. Originals, Parental Controls, Yahoo Personals, Pages, Publisher Network, Real Estate, Search Marketing, Shopping, Small Business, Smoosh It, Sports, Travel TV, Yahoo Screen, Yahoo Voice, Yahoo Web Analytics, Yahoo 360 Plus. Those are all existing services. And then there's a ton of discontinued or defunct services like Bix, Blogs, Delicious, Jump Cut, Yahoo Auctions, Yahoo 360, Babelfish, Buzz, Gallery, GeoCities. Yes, they own GeoCities. And on and on and on. This is a company that really has some real value, but just can't manage in this modern internet world. They're being clobbered by Microsoft, Facebook, Google. But something interesting has happened. Yahoo's, which has been through five CEOs in the last year. That's always a bad sign when a company has five different, because, you know, each CEO attempts to put his or her stamp on it and change the company. And that's, you're being whipsawed as an employee. Jerry Yang, I mentioned that that Terry Semple ran it for a while. Terry Semel, I should say, from Hollywood. Then Jerry Yang took over. Then Carol Bartz. Then I didn't even remember this. There was an interim CEO named Tim Morse. Scott Thompson took over in 2012, was forced out because of his faked resume. Ross Levinson's been running it until they announced this week Marissa Meyer. Now, this is a coup. Marissa Meyer, for a long time, was the best-known face of Google. Google's 20th employee. The first female engineer at Google. And she is an engineer. She's a programmer. She's a serious engineer. For many years, she ran search at Google, the most important division of Google, and was responsible for keeping that search page clean and simple. But a couple of years ago, when Larry Page took over from Eric Schmidt at Google, Larry announced that he was going to have an executive committee of five men running the company. She was not on that list, and I have to think that at that point, the writing was kind of on the wall, that Marissa Meyer maybe had hit the glass ceiling, yeah, even at Google. And perhaps it was then that she started thinking about going elsewhere. I'm not sure. It's been a while, more than a year. But what a shock. I mean, this, if you were going to say, who could save Yahoo? She would be on a short list. And she was not on the short list of CEO potentials. She was not one of the candidates. I think she perhaps called them. By the way, she needs no money. She's a multi-millionaire from her Google stock alone. She didn't do it for the money. She's having a baby in 3 months. She's only 37. She's very young. full of energy, very creative, very driven, very ambitious. And I have to think that Yahoo said, yeah, you want to work here? Yeah. Because this is a person who's very smart. And I have to think that Marissa Meyer looked at it and said, this is the biggest challenge out there right now, to take a company like Yahoo with so much going for it that just can't seem to find its way. She wants to turn this company around, and I can only think that she has a plan. She's not sharing it. She's smart. She shouldn't. But I think that somebody like Marissa Meyer doesn't take this job. She doesn't need the money. She's about to have a baby. If she were like you and me, well, certainly if she were like me, she'd be on the beach right now, relaxing. She's got plenty of money, tens of millions of dollars. She'll never have to work again. I'd say, let's stay home and be with the baby. But she is not that kind of person. She wanted the challenge. She embraced it. And she's going to work darn hard. And I have to say, bringing a name like that into Yahoo means it's easier to attract engineers. The momentum has shifted all of a sudden. And everybody will be watching with great interest to see what Marissa Meyer does. I think this is hugely exciting. Very, very exciting. And bravo, Yahoo, for getting her. And bravo, Marissa Meyer, for taking a huge challenge. And we'll watch with great interest to see what happens. It's, you know, it's not a guaranteed win. You're taking a losing team. You know, it's a bad news bears. And seeing what you can do. So, very excited for people like me, for my tech journalist friends. You couldn't have a more exciting scenario. I mean, that's great. Well, there's so much to talk to. I want to talk about the Nexus 7. Microsoft losing money for the first time ever as a public company. The world is changing very rapidly. And we are privileged to be a part of that, and it's fun. That's why I love covering technology. But I did give out a phone number, and really this show is all about you and your calls, so let's get to the phones. 8888, Ask Leo, starting with Taylor in Ohio. Hi, Taylor. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Hey, quick question for you. I have two internet services at my house, two separate ones, and I'm looking to put them on the same network so I can go to any computer within my home and pick which internet service I want to use within my house.
Boy, that's an interesting question. You don't want to bond them together. You don't want to double your speed because that's hard to do. You're saying you want to be able to pick which service you use at any given time.
Correct. Now, I thought of the two Wi-Fis, you know, maybe have two Wi-Fi things.
That's what I do. I do, in fact, have that at home, and the reason I did that is because I found that at about 5 p.m. Comcast went down when anybody started to watch Netflix, so I put my DSL in there. That's probably the easiest way to do it, that you just join a different router. Let me think about another way to do it. Scott Wilkinson coming up, home theater time right after this. Office comes out. Forgot to mention that. This has been a huge week again. If it's wired, different NICs would work, right? It might be a little more complicated with that, right? Would you have to disable one? VLANs are the way to do it, I would guess. So, Dr. Mom, you held out on the red Galaxy S3, huh? That's going to be beautiful. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about her compensation. But, you know, it's just keeping score, Murray, because she has, as you say, as somebody said, $300 million. She doesn't need any more money. And, you know, there's going to be some criticism of the Yahoo board for paying her $61 million, potentially, by the way. That's only because of options and so forth. So if you look at it, if you break it down, her salary's $1 million a year with potential bonus for two or four, or some say $8 million if she performs. Then they made whole her Google stock because she had invested Google stock worth, I think, $14 million. So that means that I'm going off the top of my head here on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So they had to pay her that because she was leaving that on the table at Google. And then they give her stock options, but the Google stock stuff and the stock options vest over 5 years. This is all retainment stuff. So she'd have to stay there 5 years. I doubt she will. And you know what? If she turns around the company, she's worth every penny. That company is a multi-billion-dollar company. $60 million, big deal. Big deal. Yeah, the text substitution in OS X is nowhere nearly as good as Text Expander. Text Expander is amazing, and that's why they're... This is, I think, a good way to do it, which is you provide basic fundamental features in the OS, but then there's an opportunity for third party. That's right. NFC has to be plastic. In fact, I'll tell you another thing, Dr. Mom. We have those tech tiles from Samsung, and initially I put it on the front desk, which is made of metal, and it wouldn't work at all. And then I put it on the drywall by the side there. It worked fine. And so if the RF, there are shielded RF, or it's not RF, but they're shielded NFC tags. You have to buy them. They're more expensive. But a normal NFC tag won't work on metal either. Metal is the bane of NFC. No, Dax, I'm in this chat room. How'd you know I pulled a muscle? Jeez, you guys. Oh, I guess I mentioned it on Thursday. Well, it was better on. Wednesday. I was in great pain, but I suffered for you, and did all the shows, and then Wednesday night it miraculously went away. So Thursday I was pain free. Yesterday I was in agony all day, and Dr. Mom, I thought I must have. I was sure that I had pancreatitis. From all the fat I'm eating. It is definitely a muscle strain. I put heat on it. I put ice on it at first, and then I put heat on it. And mostly, you know what works great? Advil. Advil, for some reason, really seems to, I guess because it's inflamed, but Advil really helped. And you know what it's from? It's from in Pilates, I'm pretty sure. It's from the chair, you know, that chair where you push the pedal down and then you pike up. Well, that's I can do that. But then there's one, and I'm almost positive this is what happened. There's one where you're working on your side abs, which is right where it is, and you do the same thing twisted, and I'm sure that's what did it. Sure, that's what did it. So anyway, I'm there's a little achy right now, but I'm on a heavy dose of ibuprofen. Scott Wilkinson is our home theater guy, editor-in-chief. I'm sorry, I just promoted you, Scott.
No, I thank you so much.
Online editor. Why aren't you the editor-in-chief? Online editor for the Great Home Theater Magazine. He joins us every week to talk about home theater. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I am well. He also does a great podcast every Monday on my podcast network. Little plug, free plug.
Thank you.
Home Theater Geeks. And I just love this show. Who's on Home Theater Geeks this week?
Ah, a fellow by the name of Martin Dornfeld, a senior engineer at Surgex, which is a power management and conditioning company. So we're going to talk about the importance of AC power, which is obviously critical to all home theaters, and what you need to do to protect yourself from lightning strikes and brownouts and blackouts. And
somebody once told me that your home theater setup, your TV, your stereo, all that, is actually more sensitive than computers to bad power.
Well, in some cases it is, certainly, and there is a debate about whether or not conditioning your power will improve the audio and video quality, and if so, by how much?
Right.
So we'll talk about that debate a little bit.
But you certainly should have it to protect it against surges and brownouts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I just answered a reader question the other day about projector lamps, and the reader wrote and asked why he was having problems after only 250 hours. And I said, well, that probably means a defective bulb, because that's a very short period of time for projector bulbs. Although if you start turning your projector on and off for short periods of time frequently, that will definitely shorten the life of the bulb. Or if you operate it in a high temperature environment without adequate ventilation, that can also really shorten the life of a bulb. But then somebody else told me, I think it was Joel Silver, if you don't put a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply, on your projector, if you get a power outage, if the power suddenly drops, the bulb doesn't go through its cool down cycle. Normally,
oh,
when
makes
you turn
sense.
Off,
that makes sense. Yeah. Or if you unplug it, for instance,
exactly
by accident.
Same thing,
right?
And you should be taking notes on this too, Leo, because you watch. You have a projector,
yeah.
And when you turn it off, I'm sure you notice that the fan keeps running for a while.
It has to cool it. Yeah,
it has to cool that bulb down, and if it doesn't, then the bulb's life is going to be shortened dramatically.
I've accidentally unplugged it a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, you know, once or twice isn't. Yeah. You should definitely stop doing that. Let it cool down normally.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good tip. So there are, and I'm sure you'll talk about this on Monday, but there are two different kinds of things, actually really three, that you could do. There's the cheap surge suppressor that you buy in a store that kind of has it's basically a power strip with a fuse in it. So if there's too much power, it goes boom, and then, you know, protects it from a overdose. It can't, by the way, protect it from a lightning strike in many cases, because it'll just arc right over the fuse.
That's
so
right.
It's not...
Anyway, the real expensive ones will probably be able to protect you, but the cheapy ones from the hardware store, no, they're not going to do.
And then there is uninterruptible power supply, which is a big battery, basically.
Yep.
And there's two kinds of those. There's one that will continuously run from the battery, which means you'll have continuous power. Those are more expensive than the ones that will switch over. And the ones that switch over, there'll be a very short millisecond period of time in which you're not on power.
Right.
And so those are kind of the three things. And then there's varying levels of power conditioning built in.
Conditioning.
And good
exactly.
Power, normal power is a sine wave. It's a smooth curve. But if you've got noise in there, and that's what I guess what the golden ears hear maybe is the noise in the power.
That's exactly right. Now, you know, whether or not electronic equipment, well, it responds to that noise, certainly. But a good piece of electronic equipment will filter it out.
Yeah.
But if you want to make sure, then you could filter it out in a device that's connected directly to the wall. Some of them go so far as to basically reconstruct the power. They take the power in from the wall, and then they use some pretty heavy-duty electronics and electrical components to actually recreate and regenerate the power in a very clean, smooth sine wave. And that then gets sent on to your equipment. So I'm looking forward to talking to Martin on Monday very much to ask about all this. He's the first guy I've had on the show to talk about AC power, the first thing that you really should think about in a home theater, or really any electronics. They got to get plugged into the wall, unless they're battery powered, of course.
Well, I need to probably upgrade. I'm just using the ones I got at the hardware store. We don't have lightning out here, though, so it's very rare.
No. And how about blackouts? I mean, how about
very, also very rare. We haven't had one in a year, so I'm not. You know what? I'm so cobbler's children never have shoes, right? That's just I'm lazy. But I do love my big projecting screen. I have to wait till it's dark out because I just don't have. I need blackout curtains. Until I get those, I have to wait till it's dark out. But once it's dark out, man, I just love it. I feel like I'm in a drive-in movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got to go see The Dark Knight Rises the Thursday night before the midnight showing and before we heard about the terrible tragedy in Aurora. Yeah. Boy, I woke up the next morning and I had already seen the movie and I went, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is very sad, you know.
It is very sad. Now, I can say that the movie itself, I enjoyed quite a bit. It definitely depends strongly on the first two that Christopher Nolan did.
Oh, so you have to watch all three. That's what people were doing. They were going to marathons.
That's right. In fact, at the theater I went to, they were doing a marathon. They were doing all three
that day. Mine too.
And
you
really need to do that, unless you've seen the other two recently enough to remember. There are plot points and references back to those other two movies, a lot of them in this third movie. So I really recommend that you do that. It's not in 3D. Christopher Nolan decided that he didn't want to shoot it in 3D because the other two weren't in 3D, and he wanted them to be consistent.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan.
I agree with that in this case. He also shot it on IMAX film. He didn't even shoot it digitally. He shot it on IMAX film.
Film? What are you, nuts? Now, why did he give a reasoning for that? And how many movies are still shot in film? How common is that?
Well, as far as I know, there are plenty of people who still shoot on film.
So we haven't made a transition. You know, in still photography, most photographers, the photographers who still use film are kind of like the audiophiles who still use turntables. They're a minority, kind of quirky minority. But in filmmaking, maybe, what is it, 50-50? It's still quite a few people still use film.
It could be 50-50. I don't actually have that.
I don't know either, yeah.
I'll have to look that up. But yeah, still quite a few people shoot in film. I myself love digital, totally. I have no problem with it at all. But Christopher Nolan wanted the IMAX film in particular, which is 70-millimeter film. It's twice as large as the normal film that one uses to shoot a major movie. So you get greater detail, greater depth in it, even though it's not 3D. And so ideally what you want to do when you go see this movie is go to an IMAX film projection system.
Right.
There are now two types of IMAX theaters. There are film projector IMAXs and there are digital. And the digital ones aren't that much bigger screen than your regular multiplex. In fact, they're usually found in multiplex environments. Whereas the IMAX film theaters have these gigantic screens, 8 stories tall, running 70-millimeter film through the projector, which is what it was shot on. And it really is a somewhat different experience. IMAX, of course, claims that, oh, you'll get the same experience either way. But I don't think it's true.
So see it in IMAX.
See it in IMAX if you can.
Scott Wilkinson, hometheater.com. Hometheater.com. That's the place to go to follow his stuff. We'll talk again next week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Scott. Very cool.
Not yet.
Have I got what?
Too many what? Have you seen The Dark Knight?
No, I haven't. I'm not a big fan of comic book movies, I realize. I went to see the Avengers movie, and about 10 minutes in, I got mad at myself. And I said, what am I doing? I don't like comic books. I'm not into comic book movies. I have yet to really like a comic book movie. Why am I here?
Yeah, then you probably won't like this one.
I loved The Dark Knight Begins or whatever the first one. I really enjoyed
just
that.
The Dark Knight.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Heath Ledger was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, creepy as hell.
A little creepy as hell. Yeah, and I will say in The Dark Knight Rises, Anne Hathaway is amazing.
Oh, I love her. She's my imaginary girlfriend. I just love her. But I don't know if I've seen the second one.
You'll love her in a skin-tight cat suit then.
Yeah. Well, I like anybody in a skin-tight cat suit.
Well, there you go.
But her pick particularly.
The second one is The Dark Knight. The first one of the trilogy is Batman Begins.
Okay.
And that had,
that's the one I like, Batman Begins.
Yes, that had Liam Neeson.
Oh, so I have seen the Heath Ledger one. That's the second one. So I've seen them both. I've seen them both. Okay.
So, well, the third one refers back to both of them a lot. So
yeah, I probably should watch them again. I think they're on demand. I can watch them on demand.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, watch them on my big screen.
There
I have to admit, after the shooting, I've kind of, that's the other thing. I'm not scared, but I was surprised. They were still selling out the next day in Petaluma. You know, it was sad because I live across the street from the movie theater, so that night, there were all these people lined up, and they were so festive, and they're all wearing their Batman shirts, and they're just really in a great mood. And so it really hit home. I just thinking about, you know, it could have been here, and those people were just in such good moods. Although, why you'd bring a four-month-old baby to that is nuts.
Oh, man, that's nuts.
Those people are nuts. But nevertheless, and thank God the baby's okay. But it was so sad to see that. And now, but what surprised me is I thought, well, aren't people worried about copycats and I guess
a lot
people
of
weren't.
People are.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how it hurts the box office, but
yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But I have to admit, it's not because I'm afraid, but I just don't want to. It's like it's going to be painful to go see it. I'm going to wait.
You know, in this case, you're probably right. I got an invitation to a
preview. You saw it before, so you were lucky.
I saw it before, so I was lucky. Yeah. Exactly right. I would give it.
I cannot get all excited about it. I can't celebrate it. It's very hard to.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thanks so much,
Scott. Take care.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think Dr. Mom's right. I don't, you know, I don't blame the guy who did it. He obviously he had a psychotic break. It's a great tragedy for everybody involved, including him and his family. I mean, the guy clearly just lost his head. And, you know, I've had mental illness in my family. I completely understand what a great tragedy that is. And I don't think until you've really known somebody who has had a psychotic break, you can't realize what a switch it flips. I mean, here's a guy who was clearly very successful in his life, was smart, was doing fine. There was no evidence of him being, you know, a nut in any... He's not like he was a survivalist or, you know, a terrorist or something like that. He just... He lost his head. He lost his mind. It's so sad. Well, that's my guess, Rooks. There's no evidence that he did that he was like that at all until a few months ago when he dropped out of school and started buying guns. Yeah, for months. But that's typical. That's typical. And until you've seen somebody with a go psychotic, you just don't know what it's like. Oh, maybe. I mean, she would have known, and maybe he'd been diagnosed schizophrenic, and you know, you can be very high functioning. He was the right age. Okay. That's the age of onset. Yeah.
We got a nod 32 live reading.
Okay, you got it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm looking at Wikipedia once again to the rescue. It has a list of films shot on film versus films shot digitally. And more movies, I would say most current movies, are shot digitally because there's no, you know, penalty to that anymore. And, you know, in terms of quality, and it's sure a lot less expensive than buying film stock. But for aesthetic reasons, people still do shoot on film. Wrath of the Titans, shot on 35mm film. 21 Jump Street, some shots. Night Exteriors in The Hangover 2 on film, the rest digitally. The Tree of Life, makes sense, shot on film. TV boxing scenes in The Fighter. Black Swan was shot on 16mm with Canon EOS 5D Mark IIs and 7Ds. Can you believe that? And a lot of filmmakers are using these DSLRs to make movies because they're so compact. You can get in very small spaces. You don't need a big camera. That's kind of amazing. You know, it's interesting how few movies are shot on film these days. And mostly it's for aesthetic reasons. Sherlock Holmes. Remember those high-speed shots? Those are shot on film. It's very interesting. And really, I think that what's happening is the industry is moving as quickly as the digital still industry moved from film to digital. But standard still photographers were waiting because the quality of film is better. It really is better. Or it's unique. It's different. They were waiting until you could have comparable quality in digital. But once you could, and this just happened maybe 5 years ago, once you could, there were so many compelling reasons to go digital. Things like Photoshop retouching, the ease of moving pictures around, not having to print contact sheets, not having to print anything until you wanted to. There's just a lot of advantage to digital. And I think it's interesting to see. You know, it was really, I think, an aesthetic decision. So it's funny to hear Chris Nolan shooting on film. Of course, IMAX film is super high res. There's a lot of dots there. Andrew in Rochester. Did I complete the last call? I think I kind of got rushed off. Well, let's talk to Andrew, and then I'll talk a little more about the dual WAN idea. Andrew in Rochester. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to preface my question by saying that you know, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, watched you on Tech TV, ZDTV.
Thank you.
I follow a bunch of your podcasts. It's like now you are, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, you're like the Rupert Murdoch of casting.
Well, I wish I had his money. Maybe when I'm his age, I will. Thank you.
I mean, with all new shows that you've got that, you know, you broadcast in video and high def on the web. It's just astounding that you can create so much content.
Well, I can't take credit for it. It started by having a great community around me who really were supportive and encouraged me to do this, and then building a great team here. We've been very fortunate. And I think timing is right. I think we're moving towards an age. You know, just this week, USA Today started, right underneath its television listings, started listing web TV.
No kidding.
Huge. That is a real acknowledgement from a very mainstream newspaper that people are starting to watch stuff on the internet as much as they do on cable and satellite and broadcast. And that's big. That's big.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just having, you know, as I said, you know, watching what you've created from an outside perspective.
Thanks, Andrew. And also
somebody who's had a little bit of background in radio, it's very similar to, you know, a musician saying, I don't need a record company anymore.
Right.
I'm just going to do it myself.
It's what's happening, isn't it?
Well, yes, but many times that goes nowhere. Yet what you've created with the Twit Network, I mean, it's just amazing. I just wanted
Thank
to
you.
Say that.
You're very kind. You're very kind. And again, you know, you're right. It's easy to have the idea, but it's a lot easier to do if you start, as I did, with this amazing community who have been very supportive from day one. You know, I
right.
came out of Tech TV with a I don't want to say fan base. That's not really with a community, with people who were really interested in this content and were very thirsty for it, and no one was providing it. And so all I had to do was just answer their, you know, fill their thirst.
Yeah.
When you've got a lot of people in the desert dying for water, it's easy to make money as a water salesman.
Right. Well, I called today because I was hoping you might be able to give me some advice.
Sure.
And interested in a while in potentially trying to start my own internet radio station.
Great.
And I know that there are a bunch of different services that are sort of set up to let you do that. And I was just wanted to get your opinion if you knew anything or had any experience with any of them.
Yeah. So here's the first question. Do you want to play commercial music?
Yes.
Okay. That's where it gets tricky because, as you know, the record industry is very funny about licensing.
Right.
If it was just you talking... As it is with Twit, with my podcast network, it's one of the reasons we don't play commercial music. Then
right.
That's a much easier thing to do. But if you need to play commercial music, you want to do a music station, then you need to work with somebody who does licensing. Otherwise,
right.
you will get the Recording Industry Association of America all over your stuff. And so that's why I like Live 365. Live365.com because they make it very easy to do a station. You know, you go from, they have software you put on your computer, and then you just make the music, you do the talking and all of that stuff, and they'll walk you through it. They put ads in. If you want to do it for free, they'll put ads in, and then they do pay license fees. So you should check and see, or you can have a subscription. That is, they call it their VIP subscription, which is as little as $6 a month. And then you could put your commercials in if you wanted to. But the thing that is key here is if you're going to play commercial music, signed artists, you've got to go through somebody that will do the licensing.
Right. I understand that. As somebody who owns one of the few independent record stores that are still...
Then you know.
I'm well aware of that whole life. So your best recommendation is Live 365.
Yeah, it's the one I like. And maybe the chat room knows some other ones. LiveCity.com doesn't do the back end for you, but they do the royalty end for you. LiveCity.com. One of the reasons I recommend Live 365, it's kind of like YouTube. It's where where the people are. You know,
right.
Part of the problem is discovery. You know, you can make a radio station, but how do people find out about it? If at least you're on a directory like Live 365, I think Live 365 will also get you on those internet radios, which you want to be on. Shoutcast.
Okay.
Shoutcast is another one, shoutcast.com, that will get you right on those directories. But I don't know how you handle the royalties on Shoutcast. I would look at it and see. So Live City is a internet, basically a hosting company that does provide royalty payments. Shoutcast is the software company that I don't know if they will help you with that part. And then Live 365 does both.
Thanks so much for your help, Leo.
My pleasure. Enjoy. You know, this is one of the dreams everybody who is in radio has. When I was in radio, real radio, I guess I still am, aren't I? I'm on the radio right now. Whoops. When I was a young DJ just starting out, it was the dream of everyone was, gosh, someday I hope to own my own radio station. What a foolish dream. It's a great, it's a guaranteed way to lose money. Great way to lose money. 70 or 80% of all radio stations are money-losing propositions. But the reason we all wanted to own a radio station is because we wanted to do our own thing. We didn't want a program director or a general manager telling us what to do. We didn't want to have to read their liners, play their music. We wanted to play our own stuff. Foolish dream, though, that might be. I'm very fortunate. You know, the other way to do this in the, is to be doing it long enough and to be successful enough that you get you know, the general managers and the program directors say, do your thing. That's, I'm very fortunate to be in that situation. But I ended up, in a way, owning my own radio station. But nowadays, it's a lot easier to do. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have a tower. You don't have to have a transmitter. All you need is an internet connection and a computer. And you do own your own radio station. And no one will tell you what to do except the Recording Industry Association of America. A good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. And it's hour number two of the Tech Guy program. Phone number is 888-827-5536. Easy to remember. It's just 8888-ASK-LEO. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. We are now 180 stations strong, coast to coast. And we have listeners all over the world via the internet as well. So if you're outside the U.S., please, you can call via Skype to 8888-ASK-LEO. And won't cost too much money. We're talking before the break. Gosh, time just flies. I you know, you'd think 3 hours would be hard to fill up every day. But no, we just ran out of time so fast. We're talking about this very interesting question. How do I, if I had two internet service providers, how do I choose between them? You know, and in fact, at our house, I do have this situation because I was so fed up with Comcast. And this is really dependent on locale. It's not a Comcast-wide problem by any means. But in, I guess the providers in our area, and maybe they'll fix this. In fact, I'm sure they will, didn't provide enough bandwidth to that neighborhood. You know, that's how cable works, is they provide a certain amount of bandwidth to a neighborhood. And the problem is that now at about 5 or 6 p.m., everybody starts watching Netflix. And everything just got really slow. Not just Netflix, but everything. And it was pretty clear that all my neighbors were using the internet to watch TV, whether it was Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, but they were sucking down a lot of bandwidth. And of course, in most cases, these installations were not built for that kind of use. Now, in time, I'm sure they'll add more bandwidth and it won't be a problem, but it was frustrating to me. So I went out and went to my local DSL provider. I like these independent ISPs. I like to prefer to work with them than the phone company. And got a very fast ADSL2 connection. Two phone lines bonded together very fast. It was, I think, 15 megabits down. So now I have the choice. But I have to manually go into my Roku box and say, hey, use this network. Now, the way I do it is they're both on Wi-Fi. So I have two Wi-Fi routers, and it's very easy just then, relatively easy then, to go to the Roku box and say, I name all my routers after dead rock stars. So I say, don't use Hendrix, use Morrison. And then that solves the problem. Or vice versa. When Morrison gets slow, I go to Hendrix. If you don't want to do it via Wi-Fi, it is conceivable you could have, well, there's, I guess, two ways you could do this. You could have two separate networks, wired networks, two routers. Well, you would have two modems, right? Two routers. And then going into each computer, two Ethernet cables and one into each network card, and then choose the network card. That'd be another way to do it. A little more difficult, but doable. Then the best way to do it is also the most complicated up front, easiest at the end, which is to use a VLAN or virtual local area network. And that's what we do here at the studios. We have three internet service providers. We have a fiber provider, something called Ethernet to the First Mile, which is over copper, and then we have ADSL2. So we have three different internet service providers. And we generally, you know, when I go on one network, I'll be using that internet service provider, but our very brilliant IT guy, Russell, has set it up in such a way using VLANs that should, and VLANs and kind of fancy gateway routers, that should one service be slow, it'll switch over to the other service. So it's possible to have that set up, but I couldn't do it. That's why we have Russell and pay him. That's why he makes the big bucks. So, but I would look up on the internet. You could probably find it somewhere. Somebody will explain how to do a VLAN and what kind of. We use Astaro Gateways, and those Astaro Gateways have this capability. They can be connected to a number of internet service providers, then divvied up. So that's how you do it, or at least three ways to do it. Jeff in Denver, Colorado. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm great.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got this old ancient solid-state guitar amp, and as soon as it's connected to AC power, the transformer or whatever inside starts making a very noticeable hum, even before you turn the power on to the...
Yeah, it's called a ground loop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at 60 hertz.
Any thoughts on how I could resolve that? Or?
Well... First of all, make sure you're using a grounded power supply and that your plug itself is grounded. You know, sometimes you'll have you are using a three-pronged plug, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and then sometimes even though you'll have a three-pronged electrical outlet on the wall, it may not be properly wired for ground. You can go to Radio Shack and buy an inexpensive ground tester. Make sure of all that. But and also, now this is before you plug in the guitar.
Before you even turn it on. I mean, as soon as you plug in the power cord.
But if the guitar is not plugged in, does it still do this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, even before I turn the power switch of the amp on, it still makes this noise coming.
You're not even powering the amp, huh?
Right.
And it's going bzzz.
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly hear it, something buzzing inside there.
Wow, I'm not sure. That sounds like something else. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it'll do it across any outlet. You know, this is an amp I've used. You know, I move around and plug into different outlets, and it doesn't matter where. It always does the same thing.
And it's so you have not turned the amp on.
Right.
The amp is off. There's nothing. Make sure there's no guitar plugged in. You plug it. As soon as you plug it into the wall, you hear hum.
Correct. From inside, which, you know, I'm assuming is the transformer or one of those things.
That is bizarre. Because, if it were a ground loop, you'd have to turn the amp on to hear that.
Right.
Now, they're saying that the transformers can make a mechanical buzzing. You mean before... I'm asking the chat room here. You mean even if it's not turned on, the transformer
right.
will buzz? I'm asking the chat room. Yeah, they all seem to... They all seem to say that I see what they're saying. Okay, so here's what they're saying. This is very interesting. I guess the transformer, which does draw power even before the amp is turned on, is physically vibrating in the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. I'm not sure what the fix would be. One of the guys is saying, loosen the bolts on the transformer. I think it's not right. I would be careful because if it's a short, you don't want it to burst into flame. It could be the house wiring. It could be the. I think it's. I suspect now that it's the amp and not a grounding issue. I think because the amp, the transformer does get power as soon as you plug it in, regardless. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense out of the chat room. And of course, because there's 1,000 people in there, there's 998 different opinions. I am not an electrician. This is analog technology. Somebody knows, please call 8888-ASK-LEO, especially an electrician. But I would say this might be one to bring the amp to a guitar center and say, hey, what the heck? See if it does the same thing on another circuit somewhere else. That's one way to test it. Bring it to the neighbors and plug it in. See if you hear it. Then if you still hear it, it's the amp. If you don't hear it, it's your internal power. Andrew CCM says, don't take it to Guitar Center. Mark in Maryland, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Leo, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say that I'm a recent college grad, and I know a lot of people said that they've been watching you for a long time, but I've been watching you since I was 12 years old.
Wow. That's great. Well, thank you. And now what do you do for a living?
I worked at a company called Aon in IT, so.
Yeah, I turned you into a geek.
You did. You definitely did.
I take responsibility. I hope it's been okay for you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, hang on, Mark. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will talk to you, and I think we have an answer for the amplifier problem, too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So that's the first answer that makes sense, Lawn Dog. That's wild too. So you plug in the amp, but nothing else is plugged in, and the amp is not turned on.
It is the hottest topic in business today.
And you're hearing buzz that because it's an old amp, the lamination in the transformer is loosened, and the thing is vibrating at 60 hertz. You get, of course, word processing. That makes sense. I don't know if it sounds okay. I don't know anything about it. Running on one of the most reliable communication platforms. Yeah, just hold the transformer, see what happens. Yeah, understand, though, it's not turned on, so that means it's not amplifying a ground loop sound. There's no amplification going on. It's making noise without being turned on. And I think Lawn Dog has hit the nail on the head. Somebody keeps asking about what a client I use in Windows. I use Google Talk exclusively for IM now, and I very rarely use IM. But if I were to use IM, it would be Google Talk. And I've tried Trillian, and I went through a bunch of different IM clients. I just don't use IM much anymore. No, Craig, I cannot read it. It's scrolling. I have chat here too. I have chat everywhere, and it's on my screen. It's a little bit. I have a little bit more room here, so I can see the old stuff. Yeah, I'm taking a lot of Advil right now. In fact, I'm probably due for a redose for my sore muscles. And I didn't do Pilates this morning, and I may not do it tomorrow. Dr. Mom, let me ask you something. Now, these are 200 milligram caps. And when I really want to get a, you know, hit it hard, I'll take four of them. I'll take 800 milligrams. But I'm afraid of killing my liver. Huh?
This is like hippie stuff. It's good for...
No, I don't do hippie stuff.
No hippie stuff?
Let me look at it. Is it...
Arnica.
Yeah, Arnica. It's hippie stuff. Because it's not merely Arnica. It's diluted arnica. It's what do they call it? It's homeopathic, right? Which means there's actually no arnica in there. You know that, right?
It works for me. All my coaches made me take it.
Let me see.
Get my stuff. I bruise easily too, so it helps with bruises.
Okay, it's 30 C.
That's what they told me you can take on a daily basis.
Yeah, because you know why? It's just water.
Oh, sugar pills.
So I'll show you. Yeah, it is sugar pills. I'll show you. So the thing about homeopathy. It's safe because you're not actually taking anything. The theory behind homeopathy, and I think these are homeopathic, is that the chemical will influence the water molecules. So what you do is you take the... it's very medieval. So you take a chemical that gives you the symptoms, like arsenic will give you a certain symptom. You put it in water... And then you dilute it until there is no molecules left. You literally dilute it until the point where there's actually no arsenic left. But the theory is that the arsenic has influenced the water molecules. So then now the water molecules will have a beneficial impact on you. I don't want to ruin the placebo effect. It works. It works really, really well. It's very, very effective. Then it works. And that's all that matters. It's all that matters. Yeah, that's what I take. Ibuprofen 800 has actual chemicals in it.
Well, do you want that instead of the actual gel?
No, this is fine.
Okay.
Rock your boys. We'll get wild, wild, wild. Hey, Leo.
Yeah.
If you have time this break, this segment, can we get that Not 32 in?
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks, Leo.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Let's see here. Get back to... Wait, what? Was it Mark I was talking to in Maryland? Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Hello?
That's you. I was talking to you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, who? Okay, I thought we lost you. What can I do for you?
So, yeah, I'm a music producer in my free time. I have a home studio.
Yay, I love that. My son wants to do that. It's a good job?
Really? Yeah, it's really fun. Definitely.
He's become a Logic fan. He loves using Apple's Logic program.
Oh, that's what I use now, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Of course. Yeah. Between that.
Yeah.
But, so I'm looking at getting a new high-end Mac, and... Of course, you know, Apple came out with the new MacBook Pro Retina, but I see a lot of Mac Pros in, you know, the high-end studios. So I was kind of wondering which way I should go with that, especially since because the Retina MacBook Pro isn't so, you know, upgradable.
yeah, that's what it comes down to is do you want the maximum speed or the maximum flexibility? Because what's really interesting is the benchmarks I've seen, I've only seen a few, say that the MacBook Pro with Retina is faster. This mm-hmm. this kills me, by the way. Faster than the 8-core, actually it's 4-core, 8 threads Xeon, through, you know, $5,000 Mac Pro that I bought last year. That the laptop is faster. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is Apple's not notorious for putting very fast GPUs, graphics cards, in their Mac Pros. So the newer graphics card on the MacBook Pro with Retina display is much, much faster. But also the i7 they're using with the Ivy Bridge is much, much faster. And the SSD, the solid-state drive, is much, much faster. But as you point out, there's really not much upgradability, at least not internally with the MacBook Pro. What's nice is it has two Thunderbolt ports. So in a way, you have access, very high-speed access to the internals of the box. You could put fast hard drives on it. You could put monitors on it. So in a way, you do. But you can't upgrade the memory. It's either 8 or 16 gigs, and that's all you'll ever get. It's literally not upgradable. It's soldered onto the motherboard. You can't put multiple hard drives in the box. You can have external hard drives, as I said, that are almost as fast as if they were internal. But it's portable. It's light. It's thin. And it has a beautiful display. You can, if you wish. And I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a Thunderbolt display, the $1,000 Thunderbolt display that Apple sells. That's a 27-inch display. You take that new MacBook Pro, you just plug in the Thunderbolt port and the power supply. You don't even have to open the laptop, and now you're using it as a desktop.
Hmm. So, do you think they're phasing out the Mac Pros?
That's a very good question. Here's the only piece of evidence that they're not. There's a lot of evidence that they are. They should have updated it. They didn't. You know, typically what Apple has done in the past with the Mac Pros are the tower cases that people who are composers, film editors and stuff use because they can put a lot of drives in there. You can upgrade cards. You put additional cards, Blackmagic capture cards, things like that in there. So they're much more flexible. They're also much more expensive. They take up a lot of space. They're noisy. The Mac Pros typically get upgraded when Intel upgrades its processors. So by all rights and all historical precedent, Apple should have put out a new Mac Pro when it put out the new Retina displays because the Ivy Bridge chip from Intel is significantly improved. There is no Thunderbolt port on the Mac Pro. There is no, you know, they're still back in FireWire. That's 3 years old. There's no USB 3 even. So they didn't upgrade it. So that would be the evidence that maybe Apple's starting to abandon them. Now, the only evidence that they are planning to upgrade is that David Pogue at the New York Times claims that he talked to an executive, unnamed, who said, no, we're going to do it in 2013. I find that very slim evidence. An unnamed executive who we don't even know, you know, we have no idea how much he knows, said, yeah, 2013. So, and Apple is not beyond putting out misinformation anyway. So that could mean a couple of things. Could mean they're going to have a new one next month and they just didn't want anybody to stop buying the old one. Could mean they have no intention at all, but they didn't want the heat from the pro users. We don't know. I think we don't know. And I think that at this point, the fastest Mac out there now is the MacBook Pro with Retina. It's expensive considering you only get a small amount of storage, but you could always attach an external drive. I think I wouldn't buy a Mac Pro now anyway. Do you have to buy it now?
No, not now. Probably within a few months.
And if you're using Logic, by the way, plenty of speed on that thing. Plenty of speed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I have a lot of external converters and stuff that's FireWire, so that's why I was kind of, you know, wondering about the Mac Pro. But, yeah, I think the Retina display is actually the way to go, sounds like.
I love it. It's the best computer, not laptop, best computer I've ever used.
Wow.
I'm very, very happy with it. And given that you can put a, you know, Thunderbolt monitor on there, with then that adds Thunderbolt ports, FireWire ports, and all of that. I think that's pretty compelling. So it's Tim Cook. An email from Tim Cook now, who's the CEO, confirms this is actually after the David Pogue quote. An email Apple confirmed to be from Tim Cook was sent to a Facebook group page dedicated to the Mac Pro. I'm on that page. A petition on Facebook saying, "Give us a new Mac Pro." He says Apple is working on something really great for 2013. Well, that's meaningless. Thank you, Tim Cook, for a non-statement. That didn't even say a new Mac Pro. Something really great. Let's say, although here's the quote: "Franz, thanks for your email. Our pro customers like you are really important to us. Although we didn't have a chance to talk about a new Mac Pro at today's event, don't worry, as we're working on something really great for later next year." That tells me nothing. That doesn't even say it's a Mac Pro. So, and then, by the way, in that the last line of that email, we also announced a MacBook Pro with Retina display that's a great solution for many pros. Apple is no longer a company that caters to professionals. They have seen the light. The light is mobile consumer devices like the iPad and the iPhone. That's the bulk of their profits. I absolutely think it's possible for them to completely discontinue the Mac Pro. I would not count on a Mac Pro next year. So there's your answer. I don't know if it's kind of a non-answer from Apple. Get the MacBook Pro with Retina. If you need something today, what a nice computer. And, you know, I guess maybe for logic you'd want 16 gigs of RAM. You should get as much RAM as you need. It's only $100 more, so you might as well. I got the base model. 8 gigs of RAM, I think it's a 256 gig hard drive. They're smaller because they're SSDs. Couldn't be happier. Super fast drive. One thing you really like is the speed of that drive is great when you're working with something like Logic or editing movies. And, you know, if you need more storage, which you will, you get an external drive. I would not count on Apple for this. In fact, increasingly, I'm starting to think pros are going to move either to Windows or to Linux. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So I didn't see this. Thank you, the chat room, for pointing me to this Tim Cook statement. I actually didn't see that. It's really a non-statement, though. Notice he doesn't. He just says we're working on something really great. He's not saying we're doing a Mac Pro. And in fact, the real message here is, hey, the MacBook Pro is a great choice for many pros. I think that's Apple's statement right there. I think that's what they're... Something really great? Could be an add-on box for the MacBook Pro with Retina display that gives you more ports. I mean, seriously. Sab, the Nexus 7 is absolutely not an upgrade to the Kindle Fire. They're not even closely related. Yeah, that's the Google 7-inch. I should have brought it. It's so cool. It's free. $200. You don't get 3G. It's just Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's you're going to see that increasingly because people don't want multiple 3G bills. Right. So all you do is, you know, now that most phones have hotspot capability, just use that. And most of the time you're near Wi-Fi anyway. You prefer to use Wi-Fi whenever possible. Oh, this is such a nice little notebook, little tablet. They're going to have it at Target, Best Buy, Walmart. But right now you can buy it online at Google's Play Store, play.google.com. You don't have an iPad? This, okay. I get it. We need one. We need one, he says. I get it. Yeah, you need one. I'm sorry, I didn't do my ESET. I will do my ESET next, I promise. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Retina 27-inch displays for a while. It's just too much. Compare the Nexus 7 to the Fire? Okay. Same size, much better screen. Processor speed is incomparably better because you have a Tegra 3 in there. Quad-core processor, very fast graphics. It's thinner. It's lighter. It runs actual Android, not only just actual Android, but Jelly Bean, the latest Android, which is very fast. The Fire is running some sticky piece of crap that Amazon made on top of Android. I can see no reason, if you were looking at a Fire, I can see no reason. They should have zero sales for Fires going forward because the Nexus 7 is superior in every way. The one thing that is not there, which is weird, Amazon's store app, you can buy Amazon Music and all that stuff. The Amazon MP3 thing works, but the Amazon has also an app, an Android app, where you can, you know, browse a store in one click. It's not available on the Android tablets. I'm sure they will. That's meaningless. And anyway, you can use the web for that. I mean, the Fire is the same price as the Nexus 7. There's absolutely no reason to buy a Fire, and I like the Fire. Nexus 7 doesn't support Adobe Flash. That's not strictly speaking true. It does, but you can't get Flash for it or any Flash. And Adobe's discontinued mobile Flash. So that's Adobe, not the Nexus 7. And the only reason you'd be able to run Flash is if you had it on there before.
Hey, Leo.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming back, we've got a DSL Extreme billboard, and then Scott Wilkinson just called me on the hotline here. He said that I guess he's going to post a link in the chat room for you on all the theaters that have... Hang on one second. All the theaters that have... that are carrying the IMAX version of Dark Knight.
I am calling you now, so we are linked. And I'm going to rollerblade home and call you again.
Okay.
And I'm excited.
I'm so flattered.
Call Jen.
Which Jen? Jen Vegas. Jen Yoga. Jen Huge Bits.
So, which one am I?
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Kyle Benham, our musical director. I don't know where that came from, but you could find out very easily. After the show, Kyle puts his playlist right up there on his Google Plus account. KYLE/BENHAM. So circle him. Or just go to techguylabs.com and James Ruvo, our show notes taker, will put it up there as soon as Kyle does. And we'll have that on the show notes as well. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number to call. A lot of interest, and I haven't really spent much time talking about the new Google 7-inch tablet, the Nexus 7, which Google announced a few weeks ago and gave to everybody who attended their developers conference, Google I.O. So I played with it at that time. Friends were there and let me look at theirs, and I was impressed, and I got mine. I had ordered it immediately and got mine Monday. $200 for the 8-gig version. $250 for the 16-gig version, includes a $25 coupon for content on the Play Store, so subtract $25. Unbelievable. And somebody in the chat room said, well, should I get that or a Kindle Fire? There's no question. Absolutely no question. Four times faster. Latest version of Android. So it's just beautiful. Full range of Android apps, not just what Amazon decides to give you. No question, the Nexus 7. Amazon should not sell one more Kindle, period. Kindle Fire, the tablet. It's not even close. The Kindle Fire is ancient history. I really like 7-inch tablets, by the way. This is a nice size. I'm an iPad user, but just a little bit smaller. You could put it in your pockets. It's easier to carry around. Much easier to lie in bed reading. It's lighter and it's easier to hold. It's a great reading device. Really great. Put the Kindle app on there, which you can, and all your Kindle books are there. Google is selling magazines now, so it's a good magazine reader, and it's great for watching video. Netflix on there, beautiful. Plus, Google is renting and selling movies as well. Comes with a copy of Transformers: Dark Side of the Moon, so you can just see what it looks like. It's fantastic. So now, if you have a Kindle Fire, I wouldn't immediately dump it and buy the Nexus 7. You might want to wait, as somebody in the chat room says, until Apple drops the other shoe. Rumors are strong that Apple's going to do its own little tablet. Not 7 inches, 7.85 inches, almost 8 inches. And not a widescreen. So the Kindle and the Google Nexus 7 are widescreen. They're 16:9, like your widescreen TV. But if you look at the iPad, it's more square. It's like a 4:3. It's like your old-fashioned TV. We don't know because Apple hasn't said, but I would almost be certainly expect if Apple does a 7.85 inch tablet, it will also be in that 4:3 aspect ratio. It'll be more square than rectangular. That isn't what you want, I don't think, especially in a smaller tablet. So I think this is the one to get. I don't think there's any question in my mind. Well, I'm sure there'll be a new Kindle Fire, the Kindle Fire 2 at some point. Nobody's announced it, but I'm sure they'll do that. How soon, we don't know. I'm not convinced that Apple's going to do a 7-inch tablet. I think that the rumors are strong, but Apple's not said anything. And in fact, the only thing Apple's ever said is Steve Jobs 2 years ago, who said, we'll never make a 7-inch tablet. Steve said a lot of things like that, but doesn't mean that's what they're going to do. As always with technology, it's not what's coming. It's what's here now. Because something good, something better is always on the horizon. Always. And if you wait for that, you will never get there. You have to buy what's out now. And I'll tell you, this Nexus 7 at $200 is amazing. Some complaints, it doesn't have a slot for additional storage. You don't have an SD card slot. And I think that's really Google acknowledging, and I do believe this is true, that people don't really store stuff as much as they used to. They watch movies streaming. They listen to their music on Google Music streaming. You don't need a lot of storage anymore. If you're getting on an airplane, there's plenty of storage with the 8 gig and certainly with the 16 gig to store a few movies, enough movies for an airplane flight. So I don't think you need more storage. I don't feel that. I think in some ways that's old-fashioned thinking, that we need to put all this stuff on our device. More and more, you should start looking at these devices as portals to the cloud, that all your stuff, all your big files are stored up there on the internet, and the device is just a kind of a window onto that. Then you don't have to store so much on it. Nexus 7 is quite amazing, and Android has matured to the point where I would have no hesitation recommending it. As a great alternative to the iPad. Coming up, Bob in Moreno Valley, his laptop is full. What does he do? See, just proves me wrong. I have to admit, I am like the, you know, I'm way, I am the canary in the mine. I live in the future. So it's probably true for normal people that the disk storage still is very important. For me, I don't worry about it. I store all my stuff on the cloud. Bob Moreno Valley, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks so much for hanging on. I appreciate it.
Actually, you did state my problem. I am running out of space. Matter of fact, when I do updates, the Windows updates, I get no disk base, and I really...
Yeah, you got to fix that because you need those updates.
Yes.
So first thing I would do is figure out what's using up all that space. It may be something you don't need to back up. How big is the hard drive? Do you know?
Hey, it's only like 64 gigs.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah, that's pretty small. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I remember when 2 gigabyte hard drives started to come out on Windows, and I was so happy. Oh, I'll never use up all that storage. Right. Now, 2 gigabytes, you got more RAM than that. So, right. 64 gigs is pretty small these days. Windows itself will take up half of that. Start installing apps, and then pretty soon you've got no room for data. I still would get a program called WinDirStat. It's free, WinDirStat. It'll tell you what's on there, and then I'll talk about backing up what you got in just a second. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Lump. Got a monk pump. Hey, let me talk a little bit about Stamps.com before we come back. Stamps.com sports sponsors. Sponsors the podcast. A little different than sponsoring the radio show. As you know, we make podcasts out of every show, both audio and video. And we sell sponsorships to it because that way we can afford to make it available to you and all the high quality, high def that you love so much. And we're really pleased that Stamps.com, a couple of companies, but Stamps.com signed up right away and said, yes, we love the tech guy. We want to advertise on the podcast. Thank you, Stamps. Can I say it's mutual? We love Stamps.com. First of all, go there. Just check it out, Stamps.com. What they do is they make it possible to print U.S. postage from your computer and your printer. And I can't tell you how cool that is. In fact, we have listeners all over the world, and there was somebody in the chat room. I was talking about this a couple of days ago. I said, gosh, I wish we had something similar in the UK. We have, we have sort of something like that, but nothing really like that. The idea of being able to print your own postage on demand, as needed, is so cool. You never wait in line at the post office. You don't have to buy stamps anymore. You don't even have to wait in line to mail packages because the post office loves Stamps.com so much, they will come for free and pick up your packages. So for small businesses like mine, this is a boon. In fact, we have 2 accounts, partly because we wanted 2 of these scales. So the deal is you get a digital scale, USB scale. You plop the letter on there. It prints out the postage. You can actually print it on the envelope, which is fantastic, with your company logo and all that. It looks very, slick. And it will even get the address if you're using QuickBooks to do invoicing or billing. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, it'll get the all the stuff. You don't have to copy and paste anything. Gets it all from the software and just does it automatically for you. Makes fulfillment a breeze. They have lots of discounts. In fact, if you do enough mailing, Stamps.com is effectively free. So I want you to look into this. Absolutely approved by the U.S. Postal Service. They love Stamps.com. You will too. So here's the deal. Go to Stamps.com. Now, you'll see on the front page an $80 offer. Don't do that. Click the silvery microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use the offer code TECHGUY. TECHGUY. That'll get you the $110 bonus offer, $55 in postage free. The digital scale, you only pay shipping and handling on that, which is $5. A $5 supply kit and a 4-week trial. It's worth $110. And I'm telling you, you will love it. You'll be so glad you did. And if you don't, cancel. Pay nothing. Scale's yours to keep. Stamps.com. Use the offer code TECHGUY. TECHGUY. I think you're going to like it an awful lot. We use it like crazy here. Just changes your relationship to the post office. Never, you never see them again. So I haven't pulled the trigger. I've been so tempted to go to the Apple store and pull the trigger on this 27-inch display. I think I have a big Mac Pro, as I said, but it's not as fast as the Retina. So I'm thinking I'm going to give the Mac Pro to my son for logic. He's using an older iMac right now. And he can use the extra storage, and it is faster than his iMac. It's got lots of memory, too. I think it's got 12 or 16 in there, gigs of RAM. It's got 2 terabytes of hard drives. Yeah, Chris Marquardt's doing a photo day August 18th. Thanks for reminding me. I have to get a producer for that. Thank you. No, my son will get the Mac Pro. I'm not going to give it to you. Sorry. All right, here we go.
All right, Leo, Carbonite's here.
Can I have it? Video. Can I have the Mac Pro? Oh, this is good.
Can I have it? This is James Derulo singing Indiana Jones.
It is?
No, he sent it to me.
This is cheerful. Wouldn't it be funny if they used this instead of the John Williams Orchestra? Next Star Wars. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, I love talking high tech. Now, we were talking before the break about what to do when your hard drive's full. A lot of times, now, 64 gigabyte hard drive, this might not be the case, but a lot of times you don't need to save anything. What could be filling up your hard drive is wasted stuff, stuff you don't need. And that's why I recommend a free program called WinderStat from winderstat.info. There's similar programs on the Mac, too. And why I like this, by the way, the Mac program is called Disk Inventory X. They both work the same way. Is it gives you a graphical display, like colors, of what's on your hard drive. And this is very valuable. It's one thing to look at a text listing, but when you look at the colors, you can see giant blobs of wasted space. And then you click on it, it'll say, oh, those are movies. Or that's a temp file. Well, you know? And so many of these, it's possible that, you know, there are gigs and gigs that could be freed up just by deleting stuff you don't need. Now, be careful. There are things you do need. For instance, be very careful about deleting your page file, pagefile.sys. You don't delete that. That'll cause all sorts of problems. And it's large. But if you see there's your data, I'd be careful about deleting anything that's not yours, you know, anything from Windows, anything that you don't. But if it's temp files, TMP, or it's your data, and by that I mean, oh yeah, I forgot, I downloaded that 4 gigabyte movie. Just delete it. And you may find there's plenty of space. Now, if you've gone through that, and you know, an easy way without downloading anything is Windows has a very nice search feature that you could search by size. Search for anything bigger than a gigabyte and see if there's anything on there that's bigger than a gigabyte. Or maybe 500 megabytes. Look for those giant files. And, you know, if there's 4 or 5 of them, you might be able to save a lot of space. The other thing to do, of course, is to back up anything you don't need. And that's a simple thing to do. Nowadays, you can go out and buy a external USB drive. Terabyte drive is about $100 or less. Somebody was telling me at Costco they saw, what was it, a 2 or 3 terabyte drive for $120? There's plenty of space out there. What you might want to do is start over. So back up your data, format the drive, and start over with Windows. I suspect what happens is that people install programs. Oh, that's a good... Oh, install that. Pretty soon you've installed so much stuff that you never use it. So that's another thing maybe to do is to go to the Program and Features Control Panel on Windows 7 or the Program Files Control Panel on Windows Vista or earlier and uninstall programs you don't use. That might save you some space, too. 64 gigs is a little tight. But, you know, you should be able to, depending on what you use your computer for, you probably can survive. More and more, as I said, people are moving stuff off their hard drives. For instance, with both Apple and Windows, Apple with its iTunes Match feature, and on Windows and Mac, you can use Google's music feature or Amazon's music feature. You can upload your songs to the cloud and get them off your hard drive. And there's one real advantage to doing that. Those files are now available on all your devices, including your smartphone, for streaming or download. And so suddenly, you've got a backup. Apple or Google or Amazon's taking care of your music. And it's available at any time. think that's kind of great. I would, somebody in the chat room says, remember, one copy is not a backup. This is a little different because in most cases, Apple, Google, and Amazon are not going to lose anything. They have pretty good backups themselves. But what if they delete your account by accident or something? So it's not a bad idea before you delete your files to put them on something, an external drive, and put it away somewhere just so you have it. I trust the cloud, and I think more and more we're going to trust the cloud. That is a great way to get stuff off your hard drive and give you space. Oh, don't forget Microsoft SkyDrive. Thank you. I have 25 gigs on there, and I love it. I think you start with 7 gigs free, which is a lot. Now, I might as well, as long as I'm mentioning that, talk about the big announcement from Microsoft this week. Seems like every week they've got a big announcement. Office 2013, and that is fascinating. I immediately installed it. They have a consumer preview available, so it's free to try. I immediately installed it on my Windows 8, although you could install it on older versions of Windows, and I am very impressed. It's essentially the same Microsoft Office, you know, with the ribbons and everything, with one big exception. Actually, two in a way, but they're related. You can now, with Microsoft Office, have up to 5 copies. And essentially, you can go to any computer, log in to your Live account, your Windows Live account, and install Office on that computer temporarily. In literally 90 seconds, you could start using it. And then when you're done, log out, it goes away. So not only do you have 5 copies, you have 5 copies you can use almost anywhere. That's very interesting, especially because Office now stores your data in the cloud. So Office is no longer, I mean, you could still save it on the hard drive, but the default, and this is what's telling, the default, unless you change settings, is to store your documents on Microsoft's SkyDrive, where they're available just as if they were stored locally, but anywhere you go. So this is really a very interesting change. So when I create a document in Word and I save it in the new Word 2013, I'm not saving it to my local hard drive. I save it to my SkyDrive. And then that, just like Google Docs, that document is available anywhere I go. Very interesting. Still has offline editing. This is a huge change. This is a huge change. I think it's very, very interesting. I think Microsoft, you know, I have said, I've been very critical of them, that they are a poorly run company, and they have been. But they've made some announcements this year that have really maybe changed their future. They have really shown that they have some innovative touches. And this, I think this new Office is going to be very popular. By the way, somebody's asking, when I buy this, do I get Mac Office? Yes. And we don't know the pricing yet. This is probably going to come out in October when Windows 8 comes out. Microsoft has not announced pricing, but they did say that you will get a copy of Office for whatever platform, Mac or Windows. So in effect, you could do the same thing on a Macintosh. I think that's very intriguing. Hour 3 coming up. We'll talk to Gary first out of Newport Beach. He wants to talk about the new CEO at Yahoo, Marissa Mayer. I'd love to talk more about her. Stay tuned. La, 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 la. La. Bump. Pardon me? Oh, I'm drinking.
For years, I've talked about ESET's NOD32 antivirus for Windows, and I'm really pleased to see that ESET has now.
You're terrifying me. I can't handle it.
With that,
no, we always, we almost always have. In fact,
ESET underneath. It's ESET's.
I can't think of a time we haven't had
Mac
people visiting out, which is nice.
Available in Apple stores everywhere.
You know, the shows that I do in here, of course, it's a lot smaller.
It detects bad things before they happen.
Many people.
Before they,
we try to keep it down to 5 or 6. Although sometimes there's more. But when we do shows out there, like Twit on Sunday. There'll be 30, 40 people out there. Huge group. Yeah, huge group. And I love it. Are you kidding? I perform. I need a live audience. It's really weird when I'm in here and there's nobody else in here. It's like, what's going on? What did I say? Oh, he's a kid. Well, yeah, right ahead because he's not on every show. I don't think he's on this Sunday, but... Are you up here for a while? When you, how long? Fun. Good time to do that. It'll be nice and hot. Do you have a boat or? Much better. Always get your brother to get a boat. Yeah, never get a boat. Get your brother. Oh, fun. Oh, at the KOA there? That's great. Isn't that nice? My daughter's, Abby's 16th birthday was there. We rented a bunch of cabins. She said, you guys are not staying here. I said, no, we'll be on the other side. But then Jennifer and I would sneak out. What's going on? It was a wild party. Oh, boy. 16, her 16th. Oh, my gosh. 20. She is 20. She's a big girl. I follow her on Facebook, so I know what she's up to. But we haven't chatted in a long time. And I keep meaning to, and I've got to do this. I want to have a Tech TV reunion and have them all out here and do a Tech TV kind of reunion show. So, yeah. Cat Schwartz. Cat Schwartz, yeah. Great, really fun people to work with. That was really, you know, the best of times. Megan Maroney, yeah. Megan Maroney. Yeah. She's still around? Yeah, she lives down the street. Really? Yeah. She did a show for us briefly, but she's got twin boys and a daughter. She's a little busy. So. Mm-hmm. Well, they're probably not hearing you too well because you're off mic, but they're hearing me respond to you. Yeah, some of this they cut out. I'm encouraging them to leave as much in as possible.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, part of the show.
Especially when they say, Leo, you got 2 seconds.
Right. No, that's what I think. I found out my editors were cutting that all out. I said, no, don't get that out. Yeah. When you watch Imus, Don Imus, or anybody else in the studio, the fun part is the breaks. See what they do when they're not on. Yeah. So, Tony, if you're watching, don't cut this part out. I have the best staff. Really, really very happy with the people who work for me. Tigger. No, I call her Liz Lemon. Her name is Liz. Yeah, it's Liz Lemon. Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. And it's time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3 players, home theater, and all that jazz, anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number. 888-827-5536. Or visit the website, techguylabs.com. Everything you need to know is right there. Gary in Newport Beach is following up on the conversation we were having at the beginning of the show. Yahoo has a new CEO. Her name is Marissa Meyer. She is one of the best-known faces at Google, 20th person hired there, first female engineer. She's truly an engineer, data-driven. She was responsible for the Google search page for years. Just about the highest quality person I can imagine, and a real coup for Yahoo. As Mike Arrington said on his Uncrunched blog, it's that nobody at Yahoo would have had the guts to ask for Marissa Meyer to be their CEO. She must have called them. So, Gary, you have a little experience with Marissa Meyer.
Well, I used to listen to a podcast that was coming out of the Stanford School of Management, I think. And they would have guest lecturers in, and one time, they introduced this person, Marissa Meyer, who I had never heard of. And I got to say that, first of all, that the thing that caught my attention was her laugh. She has a very endearing laugh, but she sounds crazy.
Hey, you know, the other smartest man in technology, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, has the most demented laugh I've ever heard. And he's a genius, so I would never judge somebody by their laugh.
Exactly. But as I listened to the lecture, it came across that here was a person that had a lot of enthusiasm,
yes,
was very creative, and understood the challenges in bringing creativity out of people in a, I don't know, a structured business environment. So I think she's going to have the opportunity to do great things at Yahoo if they let her do them.
And I think they will. You don't pay somebody $61 million to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Gary, and I agree. I've met Marissa many times. I've seen her speak many times. Of course, as with anybody, and I don't interview CEOs very often or high mucky mucks at companies anymore because they never say anything. These people are all so well trained. They have media trainers coming in there, and they stay on point. You ask, it's like a politician. You ask them one question, they answer another one. And Marissa's very much like that lately. I mean, she should be that way. She should be that way because it's not in the interest of the company. I always am suspicious of a CEO who promotes him or herself over the company's interests, who wants to be the nice guy and tell you everything. That's a bad sign for a CEO. A CEO should play his or her cards close to the vest, especially if you're running a company like Yahoo. I would not expect her to tell us word one about her plans. But I do think, and I know this, she's smart. She's driven. In fact, there were a lot of people at Google. In fact, there was an article, I think it was at Business Week this week, about how hated she was at Google. There were a lot of people at Google who, of course, anonymously stepped forward and said, oh, she's a tyrant. She's difficult. One of the things they complained about was that Ms. Meyer would have regular office hours at Google in which she would have an open door. People could come talk to her. Regular office hours for an executive is amazing. And the complaint was she would make people wait in the lobby in her, even vice presidents. What? That's a good thing. She treated people equally, gave everybody equal time, and had office hours. Oh, how horrible is that? I think Yahoo could not have done better. And there's no guarantee that she will be successful. This is a big challenge. But they could not have picked somebody better. She's what they call data-driven. She doesn't make stuff up. She looks at the data. She's very analytic, very smart. She's an engineer. And she will attract other smart engineers. And in Silicon Valley, that might be the most important thing a CEO could do, to give the people who work at a company confidence, to retain the best people, and then to gain the best people. And I bet you she'll bring some people over from Google. I bet she will. So I think this is very good for Yahoo, and it's exciting. She's 37 years old. She's young. Lots of energy. Some people complained about how much she's making. Well, first of all, her salary is $1 million a year, which is not a lot for a CEO of a company of that size. She has a bonus structure. They're a publicly held company, so all of this is public knowledge. She has a bonus structure that could double or triple that if she does well. That's completely normal. She left a lot of Google stock on the table. You know, the way companies retain people like Marissa Meyer is by giving them stock options but not making them available for some time. They don't get vested, it's called, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So when she left a lot of unvested stock options totaling $14 million. So Yahoo made good on those. They said, well, here's $14 million for the money you're leaving by leaving Google. And then they gave her additional stock options totaling something like $40 million over a period of 5 years. That's how you retain somebody. Same thing Google was doing to her, they're going to do to her. Yeah, you'll get a little bit at a time. The longer you stay, the more you get. That's normal. In fact, I don't think this compensation was out of the ordinary, especially for somebody of her caliber. And if she turns the company around, she's worth 10 times that. The interesting story, and this is gossip, but it's from Kara Swisher at All Things D, who happens to have, seems to have, the best inside sources at Yahoo. She's always got internal memos and stuff on her blog at All Things D. Kara says that this whole thing was engineered by a guy named Dan Loeb, who's been a renegade stockholder. Loeb is a hedge fund manager, and I think he has something like 5 or 7% of Yahoo stock. He's got a fairly big chunk of Yahoo stock and had been very disgruntled about the way Yahoo was being run. Very unhappy. He's got 5.8% of Yahoo stock. And he managed to get some people on the board of directors, and it is believed that he forced Scott Thompson out and made the call to Marissa Meyer and brought her in. He's an activist investor. And, you know, he's been right. I hate to say it, but he has been right. So if Daniel Loeb says she's worth $61 million, this is his money in some respects. I think that she is. But we'll see. This is a challenge. And Gary, I agree. She's a very impressive. There's, you know, if you're willing to go back in time a little bit, there are a lot of interviews with her. And she does a regular appearance at a conference that I go to in France every year called Le Web. She's got a little romantic attachment to Le Web because I think it was 3 years ago. That's where her now husband proposed to her in Paris in that December. And she's been going back every year to celebrate the anniversary of that. She's expecting, by the way. I think, unfortunately, there was a lot made of this in People magazine and other places where they don't have much to talk about in terms of technology, but they're very interested in the fact that she's going to be a pregnant CEO. I don't see that as a problem. In fact, I think it's, you know, to even worry about that is a little sexist. She's, let's see what she does. Let's see how she does the job. What do you say? My suspicion is she will be the best thing that could possibly happen. Mark and Ventura, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm kind of one of the old broads that's trying to keep up with you young guys.
All right. Well, hang on, old broad. you can't be that. You can't be older than me, old broad, but hang on.
I kind of am.
It's Monica. Hang on. You'll be next. Mark, you're coming up too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Older than me. Pancreatitis gives me back pain, which gets better when I lean forwards. Can't tell. I think the fact that the Advil works tells me, and heat works. I put a heating pad on it. I think it's a muscle strain. It's painful, though. Man, did that hurt. I was moaning. You had a Galaxy S3 in a wallet, and it beeped. You must have a London Tube card with NFC on it, Metro Scenes. That's interesting. With over 10,000 virtual machines in service, powered by the number one cloud technology from VMware. Near field communications. So there's a, it's really interesting. We have a little tag on the wall outside in the front entrance lobby that says, tap this to check into Foursquare. Now, if this, not very few phones are near field enabled, but this one is. It actually has the circuitry in the battery. And it's kind of like an RFID tag. The near field tag has no power to it. It's just a little, but it's a circuit. And when this gets close enough, it draws power from this and sends a message, and it can be a few hundred bytes to several kilobytes to the receiver in the phone. So it's an unpowered radio transmitter that doesn't activate until the phone gets close enough to draw power from the phone, and then it activates, and the phone receives a signal. In this case, the signal says to the phone, check in on Foursquare. But it can do anything from give it a web address. It can send text messages. It could do all sorts of stuff. So the idea is that this could be for a pay point. Google Wallet uses it. So when you go to a McDonald's or there are a few places to do it, you tap your phone against. You have to actually physically, almost physically touch it. When you tap your phone against it, the phone goes bloop. It asks for a PIN. You enter the PIN and you're paid. That, I think, is the future more than credit cards. I think this is really where all payments. And Apple and is rumored to be doing it with the new iPhone. They have an Apple wallet as well, as does Google. And so I think that that's what you're going to see is you'll put your credit cards in the wallet. You might put cash in it. You could put the Apple Wallet lets you put things like your Target or your Walmart customer card number in there and all stuff. And so you just tap it; it does everything for you. I think that's the future because we all have these. You know, why carry a wallet? The idea is to get everything you possibly can into that. So it's pretty cool. I like it. Yeah. This is the Galaxy S3, and I really like it. Yeah. Really like it. Naproxen. So are you saying that Advil has something that regular ibuprofen does not, Lawn Dog? Lawn Dog, you are a... I never heard of Naproxen. Aleve is Naproxen, huh? But this is Advil. So Advil is not the same as generic ibuprofen? I thought it was. Naproxen is a long-acting NSAID. So I should get some Aleve. So I'm going to get some Aleve. I don't mind taking... Well, probably not good for my liver. I don't want to hurt my liver. Tylenol, sad to say, we have a close friend of Abby's, same age as her, who just died from a Tylenol overdose. She had Lyme disease, so she was very achy, and she had been taking, you know, the problem is they hide Tylenol in everything, and she didn't realize how much Tylenol she'd taken, and her liver went into failure, and 7 days later she died. It was tragic, and she was in the hospital. They could not save her. So Tylenol is just... I think it should be. I'm shocked that they sell that. And they put it in everything. It works so well.
It's the cloud.
It's the cloud. It's the cloud. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the number. Mark in Ventura County. Oh, actually, I started with Monica. Let me do Monica. Mark, you'll be next. I pushed the wrong button. That's what happened. But Monica's here from Torrance. An old lady. Come on.
I am.
Come on, old broad.
I'm trying to keep up with you youngsters, so I need your help.
Okay.
So listen, we've had computers in the house for, you know, years, and we just upgraded last week to, can I say that? Uverse?
You can say any brand name you want. I never understood why they'd have those restrictions on some shows.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to mention brand names. They don't want to get in trouble. I like them. Okay. The more information, the better, right? Yeah.
Okay, I'll take a chance getting in trouble. Good.
Okay.
So we upgraded to Uverse. Everything's fine. Our Kindle works. Our computers, two computers work. My husband's laptop will not accept the signal.
Okay. So you have other, it's a Wi-Fi laptop?
Yes.
And you have other Wi-Fi devices that do work?
Yes.
Okay. And do you get any... So we know that it's all working. It's your husband's laptop. That's the problem.
Exactly. And it says, you know, Internet Explorer cannot display the web page.
Right. There are a couple of diagnostic things you could do. It could be... is it an old laptop?
It's 3 years old. It's not...
That's not that old.
Yeah.
It's possible that they put... They probably did. You have to enter a password to use the access point the first time, right?
Right. Yeah. We got it.
It's possible that they're using something that the his laptop doesn't support, WPA2. I don't think that's it. Let me ask a couple of questions. Do you see a signal on his laptop? You'd get bars?
Yes.
Okay.
When I go into the control panel and I see it says wireless, and it shows the number of the router, and it shows high signal.
Good. All right. So you see, you got some bars. Has he used his laptop with Wi-Fi elsewhere?
No.
Ah. So it could be that there's something wrong in the laptop itself. He's seeing bars means he's receiving a signal, and his Wi-Fi receiver in that laptop is working, but maybe the transmitter's not working, or maybe there's something else going on.
Okay.
I would like you to, this is kind of more complicated than somebody who's never done this before can do.
I know.
I wish we were all network experts, but we're not.
I do too.
Yeah, we're not. So there are a few things you can do that I would check. You know, one thing is try another browser.
Okay.
If you have one on there. Firefox or Chrome could be the way IE is set up. I would look in your network configuration and make sure that you've set that up properly. Because it sounds like if he's never connected, maybe he's never set up Wi-Fi.
No, he's been able to get Wi-Fi signal on our last router, out on the patio.
Oh, okay, that's what I was at. So he has been able to use Wi-Fi on that laptop.
On this laptop with this router.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's only this new one that's not working.
Yes, correct.
My best guess in that case is that you are using a security protocol, an encryption technology called WPA2 that his laptop doesn't support. That would be my most likely guess. You did use the right password and all of that, right?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Okay.
Who would we go to get that?
There's so many little things. You know, I'm watching the chat room, and people are saying, well, maybe they put MAC address filtering on the U-verse router. I doubt that, but maybe they did. Maybe maybe it's WPA2 incompatibility. Maybe his laptop is misconfigured. That seems like the most likely thing. I'm going to guess his laptop's working fine because you were able to use it before. It was just this U-verse
that
stopped working.
Exactly. Okay.
Try another browser. I suppose it's possible he has DNS changer on there. He has a issue with you run an antivirus or any malware?
Yes. He runs the it's like that firewall security whatever.
This is one that's just it's complicated to diagnose, and there's a lot of different things that could be wrong.
Okay.
I wish there were, a company that would come to your house and fix it. Because you can bring it into a shop, but it's not going to help because they need to see the laptop on the Wi-Fi.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I thought, why can't we take it somewhere? I thought, nope, we got to do it with this modem. So,
Right. Okay. So everybody in the chat room is saying, ping, ping, and this is the thing I was kind of trying to avoid, but I guess you could try it. So in order to do this, you need to run a command line. That should scare you already.
Yes.
You click start and run, and you type CMD, and you hit return, and that opens a black window with white text that says nothing. It just says, has a little bracket, says, and now you have to type something. And what you could type, there's so many. This is so complicated. It's just too darn complicated. I mean, you could ping yahoo.com, see if it's saying hello. That would tell you is if you've got an internet connection, but just something else is not working. You could try pinging the router or pinging your ISP's gateway. But all of these, I can say what I just said, and a geek will go, oh, yeah, and know what to do. It's complicated because you got to figure out what the gateway address is. You got to figure out what the router address is.
Have somebody come here is probably my best.
Yeah, unfortunately, you need to get somebody like the Geek Squad to come over, and they'll probably be able to fix it pretty quickly.
Okay, well, Staples has been really good to us, so I think I'll call their
call them.
They do home
beauty. Service. I like those guys, actually. They're good.
I do, too. I think they're amazing.
Good.
I do.
Yeah, it needs... I mean, if I could come over and fix it in 3 minutes. But I can't from remote control because there's all these things I'd have to see and look and test and so forth.
Okay, but a tech guy.
Any tech guy should be able to fix this pretty quickly.
Be able to fix it.
Yep.
Okay. Beautiful.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you so much for taking my
call,
Leo.
You're welcome. Sorry, I can't be more help. There's just some things I can't do. I can't reach through the radio into your computer. I wish I could. Mark and Ventura, thanks for hanging on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I thought I died and went into a parallel universe.
Yeah. I picked up your. I said, "Hey, Mark," and some woman answered.
Yeah,
my
going,
fault.
Oh man,
my fault.
Trouble.
No, it's my fat fingers. I missed a button.
I'm an old guy. I'm 62, and I'm helping my 86-year-old buddy. And he finally came up with one that stumped me.
I love that, by the way. The geeks,
and I love
geeks,
that you were talking about Yahoo because it's a Yahoo thing.
Oh, good. Now, geeks, this is your job, is help somebody else who's not a geek.
I told my 86-year-old buddy, I said, it's the geeks in the chat room that I can never get into the chat room, by the way, but that's a separate issue. Anyways, here's the problem. I go to Yahoo Mail, and the only thing that's not working is when we try to change his font size, it just defaults back to 12.
no matter what I do.
And he's older. He wants a bigger font
size. And I went
in
the settings. What browser
are you using?
Internet Explorer. But here's the trick. I brought in my laptop and connected up to Internet Explorer, went to Yahoo Mail.
And you could change it. Well, hang on, Mark. We got a break. Let me see if I can figure this out and solve it right after this. Why do people still use Internet Explorer? That's my question. I could while away the hours consulting with the flowers. See, all I do is I press Command Plus. Oh, it doesn't change it. Oh, that's interesting. So Yahoo is blocking. That's interesting. So, you know, any other web page, if I want it to get big, I just press Command Plus and it gets as big as I want, right? Yahoo apparently is doing something in their CSS that doesn't let that. Oh no, it works. Sort of. Yeah. Well, that's one solution. I guess he wants to do it in the options, right? This is a problem when people are using web-based interfaces as if it were a desktop interface. And that's, yeah, so advanced settings, extra large. That's the plain text font. Let's see. It's interesting. They do not have a font size for reading, only for plain text. Save signatures, disposal mail accounts filters. Yeah, see, they don't. Doesn't look like they have a setting for that. Yeah, we talked about that on Windows Weekly, Terry H. Can you believe that? Huh. I can do that. On Windows, what is the. This is a Mac, but on. Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go to accessibility. That's actually a great idea on a Windows machine. Yeah. Yeah. That's an IE?
Okay, good. Since options accessibility, that's a good idea. And then he could also change the DPI. You can also change the DPI. Can you still do that in Windows? Where is that? Is that in display? The display control panel? Used to be able, that was a really nice feature in Windows Vista. Say again? You want me to be buzzed. It's in the display control panel. Okay, great. Thank you. I need it. That's only my eighth cup of coffee today. I feel good. It's not a problem. I can drink as much coffee as I need because really I am immune to caffeine. Caffeine does not speed me up or anything. In fact, I have no trouble sleeping. I can just have, this is my eighth or ninth cup of coffee and I feel fine. I feel fine. Now, if you drink coffee when you're... 888-ASK-LEO. That's the number if you got a question, a comment, a suggestion. Mark and Ventura helping an older friend. He wants Yahoo Mail to be big.
I saw you on the internet, on the video, out the options.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're checking out options. Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah, so the options, I'll tell you why. The options on Yahoo Mail, I was looking at this, only allow you to change it the text size for plain text. That means for, and very few people, especially older people, use plain text in their email. I prefer plain text emails, but that's not the solution. The solution is global. If you're using Internet Explorer, and you probably heard us say this because Alex Gumpel, my Windows guru, came running in, and said, just go to the Internet Explorer's options page, Internet Options, go to the accessibility button, and turn off, it says override font sizes. So for accessibility reasons, you can override the font sizes. That's one thing to do. But I think what you should do for this guy is globally fix it and make everything. Doesn't he want bigger text everywhere?
Yeah, but when he goes into Microsoft Word, he likes changing text. I mean, he wants to be able to change it large and small.
Yeah.
Well, now I know on many browsers you can temporarily increase the text size. I'm doing it right now on a Mac with Command Plus.
I showed him Control Plus, Control Minus. Not a problem.
Yeah.
It's only when he's composing email, he's stuck with a 12 point text. And I put it up on 36 or any other size, and the cursor gets larger, but the second I type, it goes back to 12.
Oh, I see. Okay, now I'm looking. You do have, when you compose text, you have a font size button.
Yeah.
So I'm looking right now. This is the text. Now, if I select everything, I can select that and make it 36.
That too, and it won't. It'll, the minute I start typing, it defaults right back to 12. And I've gone in where you were at on the options, and I changed it to large, extra large text, and it's the options isn't even working in there. You know, like normally on my laptop, I'll see it actually change right there, and then I click save. Well, his, when I change it to large, it's the options don't even work.
Well, I would just probably reset the browser by clearing the browser's cache. You've done that.
Clean, yeah. Everything.
Yeah. And you're using an up-to-date version of Internet Explorer.
There's a setting in there somewhere that's doing this, that's sticking him on that.
Sometimes in editors, if you change the font size, and I think this is typical of Word as well, there's a normal font size that it will revert to.
Yeah, well, Word works. He can make larger on Word, but if I copy and paste it into his email, it all comes out 12 point. It won't pick up on the other font size on the Yahoo email.
Now, there is, he may be using Yahoo Classic.
I've done that too. I've gone to Classic and the Plus.
And neither one is solving the problem.
Nope. I've done a lot of troubleshooting here. I'm hoping if I stump you, you just send them a little laptop.
You win a new computer. I don't think it's the computer. I would try a different browser just to see if it's the browser. I like Google Chrome a lot. I know, you know, most people use Internet Explorer because that's the default with Windows. You don't get rid of it. You keep it, and you can continue to use it. But just try it in Chrome and see if that works.
I've done the Chrome, and I've got Internet Explorer, the same one on my laptop I brought here to check it, and it's working on my laptop. I can change the text size when I go into his email account. But when I go to his desktop computer here...
Well, here's where I'm stumped, Mark. I, like you, am able to do it. So it's him and his computer.
Right.
And I'm not sure if he... You know, there's all sorts of things you can do in Internet Explorer. For instance, you can overwrite the defaults and have your own CSS style sheet that you're using. Perhaps it's set to do that. I think resetting the browser is a good start. I know you did that, but I would make sure I try it again. Make sure you're using the latest version of IE. It sounds like there's something set strangely in that computer. Perhaps JavaScript is disabled or something like that. Because you and I are able to do this. I'm in Yahoo Mail right now, and I am able to do this. I'm able to make it 36-point font. Now, one reason that they may not want to do that is, for crying out loud, they don't want him sending giant text emails to all his friends and family. I presume he's doing that so it's easy for him to read. And that's why I would suggest that you go into the display control panel and you change the dots per inch to a lower number of dots per inch. It'll make everything look a little bit bigger. Everything look a little bit bigger. I presume he's doing this because he wants to be able to read it. But you don't want to make him. You don't want to have him send giant font emails to everybody. So change the DPI in Windows, which will make everything better and bigger and more legible, but won't actually change the outgoing email font. I don't think you really want to do that. In fact, that's one of the reasons I don't use rich text format or any formatted styles on my email. I send email in plain text, that is, with no formatting, and let the person receiving the email decide what they want it to look like. Email was designed for plain text. All of this stuff that lets you, you know, change fonts and put pictures in your email, all of this is kind of a hack.
that makes it dangerous. Just use plain text. Use a higher DPI in Windows. That should solve his problem, make it more legible, and he won't be sending out giant font emails anyway. I think that that's preferable. That's the best I can do, Mark. If you want to visit our chat room, I know you said you had some trouble. Just go to the webpage, irc.twit.tv, and you should be able to enter right in there and have no trouble. Lower the DPI will make the text bigger. I know that's kind of counterintuitive, but you can play with it till it's something you like. Drew, Oceanside, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Drew.
Hey, how are you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
Hi. I'm pretty well. I had a question for you regarding smartphones.
All right, pick up the phone. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a different state.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. How are you doing?
I'm great. What smartphone question? Ask away. I love talking about smartphones.
Okay, so I'm going to college in the fall.
Congratulations. Where are you going to school?
A small liberal arts school in Pennsylvania.
How exciting. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
You're about ready to leave pretty soon. When's school start?
August 20th, I leave out.
Oh, your life's about to change in a month.
Yep.
Our mom and dad devastated. I would be. I remember we dropped our daughter off a couple of years ago at college. I was crying. Crying my eyes out, but for you, this is good news. You're about to begin your life.
I don't think it's really sunken in for them yet.
Yeah, it will. Believe me, the day they drop you off, are they going to go out with you or just stick you on an airplane?
Stick me on an airplane and say, here you go.
That's what my folks did. That's going to be a tearful moment at the airport.
Yeah.
And sure. You, when you get on that plane, you're going to go, whew, got rid of them. Now the fun begins. So how exciting. So what can I do to help you?
I'm looking for plans. Well, not plans, but I'm looking particularly at getting a new smartphone.
Yeah, for college. Well, hang on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will help you do that. And also our gadget guru, Dick DiBartolo, the Giz Whiz, will join us. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh man, did I?
It almost goes without saying in business.
Yeah, Stanlock, you shouldn't show up 2 days later. See, that's the problem. If you did... My parents put me on a plane. I was 16. I have pictures of them and my girlfriend at the time dropping me off, SFO, getting on a plane. I flew to New York, and because I didn't know any better, we had. I never did this again. We had booked a puddle jumper from New York to New Haven, and it was a thunderstorm. And I am riding. It was like the scene out of Airplane. It was terrifying. The plane's going like this. Thunder's going in. Boom, boom. And, of course, these little puddle jumpers, they don't fly very high. We're going through the storm. And then I got there, and it's pouring rain. I've got a trunk. And a suitcase, and I'm, I took the cab to school, and I'm dragging it in. I have to find the place where, freshmen show up to, I'm here. And it was scary. It was like arriving at a castle in Transylvania. And then I dragged my stuff my roommates hadn't arrived, or maybe they were there, but they weren't in the room. And I unpacked. You never forget that stuff. We took Abby. No way I was putting her on an airplane. We flew out to New York, all four of us. It was very. I have video of like our last night. She's singing. She's happy. We're all like, yeah, Truckee. You remember those days? Dragging a trunk across the campus. It was very different. This was 1974. No, 73. I think parents these days would not dream of just say, here, get on a plane with your trunk. See you later. Wouldn't do that. We're much more child focused. Do you have kids? How old? Oh, you have grown kids. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't have dreamt of just saying, okay, Abby, get on a plane. We'll see. Now, we did that in France. We weren't going to fly her to France, but she'd spent her junior year in high school in France. Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I was the first floor of the, there were still stairs of the entryway. So, yeah, I dragged it across campus. At one end of the campus is where you checked in, and dragged all the way across the other end of the... No wheels. Oh, I got to call the Gizwiz. Yes, we're excited, Dick. We're just going to have a massive party. We're going to have a sheet cake and everything. I went to Yale. I never finished Harvard because I went to Yale. I didn't finish Yale either. I dropped out in my junior year to pursue a career in radio. That was smart. That was a good move. Man, if I'd graduated, I'd probably be a college professor to this day. My dad was a professor, so that was... You don't have to... Please don't crawl. Just stand up and walk, man. Poor guy. He's crawling under the cameras. That's cute. Hello, Dickie D. How are ya?
I'm good.
Do you want to stick around after the show and do a little...
I am going to chat with the chat room.
I'm just going to wander off and leave you on. We'll do a... If it'd be nice if for... Because Dick's going to stick around after I leave, Alex. Dick's going to stick around after I leave, so maybe we could put him and a little bit of a chat below him or something like that so they can see both. Thanks.
Perfect.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be our most popular... show on the channel. But hang on, I have to finish. Yeah, no, you. You and you. Hang on a bit because I have to finish the call.
Okay.
And do I have a spot, Kyle?
You do. Carbonite, your last
one. Alrighty. I'll do Carbonite, then I'll go to Dick.
We were wise and we never compromise. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
Drew's going to be a freshman. He's going off to college in 1 month. Wants to bring a smartphone with him. So do you have a feeling about what you'd like, Drew, or what you're looking for? What can I do to help point you in the right direction?
Yeah, I'm kind of caught between looking at the Galaxy S3.
Which I love. You know, nowadays there's very little difference between an Android and an iPhone. I think the Android phones are a little bit more advanced now, but of course there'll be a new iPhone out in the fall that probably will play a little bit of a catch-up game. I'd say, what's your major going to be?
International business.
All right. I would say you're a smart kid. Get the Android phone. It's much more capable in the long run.
Okay. And in terms of it, surviving, well, it'll still be like up to date when the new iPhone comes out, probably, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so it won't be completely out.
The real issue is you've got to sign a 2-year contract unless you go month to month, and you know, you should also check with the college to see what carriers are the best in your area.
Right.
Because you don't know, it might be very different there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I checked with them, and they said that they recommend students to get Verizon.
Okay. So you do have the choice of Verizon iPhone or Verizon's getting the Galaxy S3. The nice thing about the Galaxy S3, I don't know if you have LTE, but if you have LTE in that area, that's going to use LTE, whereas the iPhone will not. So that makes it a lot faster. So I would say get the S3. You're a smart guy. You'll love it.
Okay. In terms of, like, the screen size, I mean, I'm moving up from, like, a messaging phone.
Oh, you're going to love it. The screen size, this is a 1280 by 800 screen on the Galaxy S3. That's another good reason to prefer it over the iPhone. It's a 4.8-inch screen compared to a 3.5-inch screen. Big difference. You could watch movies on this happily. Lie there in your bunk bed. I think you'd be very happy. You're bringing a laptop too, Drew?
Yeah.
Good. Drew, you're set.
Additionally, would you recommend buying like a service plan for them?
No. Service plan is insurance.
Right.
So I would self-insure. Most of the cell phone service plans have such big deductibles that you'd be better off self-insuring. Because people lose and break cell phones right and left. That's the one argument, by the way, for an iPhone. It's a lot easier to repair an iPhone or get an iPhone repaired. Everybody has iPhone repair stores. Not so much the case for Galaxy S3s. However, I would say just be careful. Get a case. Treat it nice. Drew, good luck. That's awesome. It's going to college. Mr. Dick D. Bartolo. He's Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him the Gizwiz because he's a gadget hound. He joins us every week with a great gadget. Hello, Dickie D.
Will, how you doing, pal?
Couldn't be better. I'm so excited. You know, I wish you'd come out. You're coming, I know, to visit the square, the brick house on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
I should
yes.
Had you come out early because the River Festival, Rivertown Festival is today.
Oh, my word.
Yes, and they're having $5 weddings.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They're worth every penny.
Yeah.
It's
if
a lot
don't
of fun.
Marry you, can I still be on the show?
You know, I was watching his Facebook feed, and he said, I went to DMV to get my license renewed. They moved DMV. The marriage bureau's there now, so I got a marriage license instead. By the way,
yeah,
Dick
big,
doesn't
yeah.
need either of those. He doesn't have a car, and he doesn't have a wife, so I don't know what you're thinking. You don't need a license.
You never can tell what the future holds.
So, Dick, what's your gadget?
You know what? I'm gonna demonstrate this live on Tuesday when I'm in the studio.
Okay.
But I'm doing it today for a special reason, and it's mainly your audience to save a bit of money. I love Slingbox. Mm-hmm. I have the original Slingbox about last fall. When I went to use it, it would say you need new software. Went to their website, it said we don't make any new software.
Oh.
So I had no Slingbox.
Oh,
but
no.
Now, yesterday, Belkin released At TV Plus. Now, At TV Plus is like Slingbox, but it adds some neat features. For example, it's Wi-Fi enabled.
Ooh.
So, the original Slingbox was hardwired. You can walk anywhere in the house with your tablet,
like
watching
that.
What's on your cable box. I do, too. I got it yesterday. I already have it on my Droid 4. I have it on a Samsung Note that I borrowed. But what's neat, Leo, is if you're watching a movie or something on your phone and then something comes up, you can record to your mobile device what you're watching from your cable box at home.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is really neat. The other neat thing is it's half the price of Slingbox. It's $149. Now, their website says $179, but they said the street price.
Amazon's charging $179, but it's not available yet. So it'll be less expensive, is it?
Right. Yeah. And the reason I'm jumping to do this today is that the app for tablets is free.
Oh, but another big savings over Slingbox.
Yes, yes. The apps for smartphones are $14.99, except it's free until July 25th.
And you don't have to have the hardware to download
you
the
know,
app.
That's what I was going to say. If you have any thought at all that you might want this
get
in the
now.
Future,
yeah.
that's exactly what I'm saying to people.
Yeah.
Is if you think you might want At TV, go to the App Store, type in Belkin. All the Belkin apps will come up and click on the At TV app. No HDMI, so it does component and composite. But
this is interesting. Slingbox has owned this market for so long. I've always been surprised there wasn't any competition.
Yes, and then they kind of just dropped the ball.
Yeah, real opportunity here for Belkin.
Yes,
I will.
Exactly.
I will get one. I'd like to take a look and review it myself. So this is called the Belkin @TV Plus mobile television anywhere, and it's basically you hook it up to your DVR. You know, there's some things it doesn't do. It looks like you can't. You can't control the DVR as well, maybe.
Well, I
you can.
You can
set recordings and all of that?
You can. Well, you know what? I didn't. I just changed channels, adjusted the volume, and watched movies that I had already
recorded.
You
had stuff on the DVR.
Yes, on the HD box.
That's
then this
cool.
morning, I just recorded 4 minutes of a movie I was watching, and it was fine.
The big thing is that you can record onto your device.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking is before I fly out to Petaluma,
record
I'll turn
stuff.
On Turn to Classic Movies.
Yeah.
Like record.
Record 24 hours at TCM.
Yeah.
You're set.
So if United doesn't have entertainment, who cares? I will.
Dick DiBartolo, he's at gizwiz.biz. That's his website. If you go there right now, you can play the What the Heck Is It contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine from this guy, the Mad's maddest writer. Just go to gizwiz.biz. Also, there's information on all the gadgets he talks about on this show and his podcast, The Gizwiz. which is moving to Tuesdays on our network at 1 p.m. starting this Tuesday.
This Tuesday.
Yeah,
and it will be live with both of us in the same place.
That's
amazing. You know, I wonder if we'll get along in person.
You know, I might not really like you if I actually see
No, I'm having the same thought. Maybe there should be a pane of glass between. Wait a minute, Leo. I'll sit in one part of the
studio. Go to the basement. You could Skype in. Thank you, Dickie D. Thank you all for watching the show. We do this show every weekend. You can find out more at our website, techguylabs.com. I'll see you next week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.